aboard, you people. It is the Starship Rokan show with Anna DeVlantis off for another day of insolence.
Hello, Spicer, my old friend. The press is hounding you again.
Hey, Sean.
Because last night while you were sleeping, Donald Trump was late night tweeting. When the Donald seems to be a little strange, it's not the same. The White House is silent.
Hey, Sean.
And today, it was a classic moment in the White House.
No question.
You have, now in this case, Donald J. Trump Jr. tweeting his email exchange with a Russian entertainer. I love this guy. He's an entertainer.
Amir or something.
And he is,
Amin.
And he is... he's going back and forth, basically saying to the guy, "Hey, you know, I'll meet with this person, but you know, they got to bring the goods." And then he acknowledges, he goes into the meeting, and she didn't have any of the kind of details of dirt on Hillary that they wanted, and he got annoyed.
So it was a quick meeting,
right?
20 or 30 minutes. I'm out.
That's his excuse.
Nothing.
Was I didn't, even though his he initially said he never met with Russians. Then he said that the meeting with this Russian was about adoptions. But that was in exchange for getting sanctions taken off oligarchs, that Americans would be able to adopt Russian kids again. Because we're doing a favor to ourselves with that. I mean, it's like the whole thing is kind of crazy. But we'll explain that in just a little bit. But here is Sarah Sanders Huckabee Sanders. She married herself, divorced, and married herself again.
Is that what happened?
That's what happened. Yeah.
It was an audio-only news conference again.
Again, audio-only news conference. We'll explain why they're doing that.
Very short.
It was somewhere around 15 minutes. But the only part that counted were her answers. And basically...
At what point did the president discuss with Donald Trump Jr. that meeting? Have you had a chance to get a sense of what he feels about this entire story as it continues to unfold? What's your sense on that? And then follow.
I have a quick statement that I'll read from the president. My son is a high quality person, and I applaud his transparency. And beyond that, I'm going to have to refer everything on this matter to John Jr.'s counsel and outside counsel, and won't have anything else to add beyond that today.
Will you stand by a statement you made yesterday when you said that our position is that no one within the Trump campaign colluded in order to influence the election?
I do, and again, I don't have, beyond the statements yesterday and what I write today, I don't have anything else to add, Jill.
When was the last time the two of them spoke, Don Jr. and the president?
I'm sorry?
Do you know when the last time the president spoke with Don Jr.?
I don't.
So the White House hasn't disputed any of the following, which is that the president's son, campaign chairman, and son-in-law had this meeting with the express purpose of receiving damaging information about Hillary Clinton and with knowledge of the Russian government supporting Trump's campaign. How is that not collusion?
Once again, I know you guys are going to get tired of it today, and not to sound like a broken record, but on all questions related to this matter, I would refer you to Don Jr.'s counsel and the outside counsel.
But you're not disputing any of the facts.
I'm simply referring you to people that can answer that question, Matthew.
Was the president misled, or was he not truthful?
Once again, to repeat myself, I'm going to refer you to the outside counsel. And I don't have anything else to add.
Why the president is not answering the questions himself, either through you or directly today?
The president...
What changed between yesterday and today?
Look, the president gave a statement on the matter, which I read to you, and like I've said, I don't have anything else to add beyond that.
So by not answering questions directly himself or through you, is that, in his mind, expediting the investigation, or is it blocking?
I'm not going to get into the back and forth on that, Maggie.
Sarah, when the White House says there was no collusion, what does the White House mean? What is the definition of collusion?
Again, I've said all that we're going to say on that matter, and anything further, you guys are going to have to reach out to outside counsel, April.
Sarah,
the words collusion have been used. In other words, if we use obstruction of justice, they're saying now that's not even half of it. It could be treason or perjury. What does the White House have to say? There are new terms brought into this, new serious, more serious terms brought into this.
I don't know how many times we'll have to address this.
I'm not asking about Don Jr. I'm asking about these words being brought into this equation that you want, this White House wants, this whole investigation to be gone. There are new words now brought in.
I think those new words are ridiculous.
Sir, is the president aware, as he speaks about the transparency of his son, that he only released those emails after being informed that the New York Times was about to publish them?
I'm not sure, Peter. I'd have to check.
Let me ask you more broadly about what we spoke about yesterday on the topic of appropriateness in terms of campaigns. Explain to Americans who are asking this question today why it's appropriate for a presidential campaign to accept a meeting with a Russian national after being promised high-level and sensitive information presented as part of Russia and its government's support for Mr. Trump. Explain to Americans why that would be appropriate.
Again, I'm not going to get into the details of anything surrounding this and would refer you to Don Jr.'s
counsel. Do you stand by your statement
As I mentioned earlier, I stand by everything I said yesterday.
All right, so essentially, that's everything. You just heard the entire 15-minute press conference.
That's it.
We took out some of the other pesky questions about other things that she didn't want to answer.
I don't want to sound like a broken record, she said, but again, she was referring quite a few of those questions to Don Jr.'s counsel, outside counsel.
Yes. Yeah. So there it is. There you have it.
So that's what you learned today.
All right. Brett Baer is going to join us on the Fox News channel. We'll get his thoughts on this coming up after the bottom of the hour. In the meantime, Mark Sapelsa is standing by. But first, Judy Pilak has the WGN traffic trouble spots.
CLTV is now in HD. Watch the TV simulcasts of Steve Cochran's show in the morning and then here in the afternoon with Ro Khan, along with all the latest news, weather, and traffic, all in high def, now on Comcast Xfinity 352.
That's how that goes.
Check it out.
All right, Mr. Mark Sapelsa is going to join us right now from the WGN TV newsroom.
How are you guys?
We were on a little conference call today. We do these weekly programming conference calls where all the people who are on the radio here get together and with the management, and we talk about things generally about what time the next party's at. I mean, that's kind of the way that things go around here. But one of the things was our and I wonder how this happens too, like at Channel 9. You know, we are a local radio station. You are a local television station. Yes. We want to talk about things that are happening locally here. But then you get things like this, and you're like, I don't know what to do. And we're responsible for our own content, as you guys are. You know, you're not a network.
Right.
So you do all your own stuff. This is so historic. Every day, something that will be talked about and taught and reflected upon 100 years from now is happening.
Talk about for example, the Don Jr. emails, this whole thing that has been unfolding for weeks and months.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, I'll retweet or repost or maybe attempt to discuss it on social media. And, you know, there are certain people that are glued to it and are very much interested, and maybe our viewers are too. But boy, the pushback from people, I don't care anymore, I don't this anymore, I don't that, it doesn't matter to me, move on to something else. And my first response is, you know, they did say that, and I'm not comparing the two specifically, because they could be apples and oranges, but they said that a lot about Watergate too back in the day, saying, I don't care about a two-bit burglary.
Right.
Second-rate
burglary is what it was called.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And so you just don't know where it's going to end and how it does obstruct the American voting election system, government agencies, what have you. So to me, it has that kind of weight. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I found it interesting because the president's only tweet about it seemed to be to commend his son.
It wasn't even a tweet. He didn't go on Twitter. It was a statement from Sarah Huckabee.
commended for his transparency. It was really all he said. And many had said that there were some, the New York Times among them, were reporting that, you know, he's been advised strongly, do not tweet about this one. Do not get into the details and just stay away from it. But, I mean, it just, it, the transparency comment was interesting because, A, you know, he only released the emails after the New York Times pretty much indicated to him that they had them in their possession by asking pointed questions about them. But then, you know, you lead to this news conference with Sarah Huckabee, and we were just playing almost in its entirety here, and that was the least transparent news conference I think we've heard so far.
It's obfuscation. That's the bottom line. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on, or if you're just talking person to person. Transparency, what? 4 days after, you know, this is essentially first printed in some newspaper, and eventually we do get to that. So it takes 4 days. First it was, oh, I think there was a meeting. Then it was, oh, I think it was about Russian adoption. Oh, I'm not even sure who it was with. I'm not sure who was there. Now we know who was there. Now we know what the email said. Now we know what the setup was. Now we know what the plan was. And this is a year after the man said to Jake Tapper on CNN, vehemently, I am so sick and tired of the Democrats or the Clintons or the whatever, saying this or implying that or alleging this.
He had conversations with the Russians and it's called it despicable
and
disgusting.
It was a couple of days after this meeting.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Transparency, my you-know-what.
Right. It's of historic import, though. That's the point, is that, you know, the people who are saying, oh, I don't want to hear this, you know, move on, this is unimportant, are obviously the Russian trolls and robots. You know, I mean, if you are an American and you care about this country, as I know many, 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 many Republicans do, conservatives do,
sure,
Democrats mm-hmm. do, liberals do, whatever it happens to be. But as you know, people who care about the future of this country, and maybe you want many of the things that are in the Trump agenda, you cannot get them from this president if he is seen to be a foreign agent or under the control of a foreign government, or in debt to a foreign government. Mm-hmm. Just not going to happen. So they got to get this thing cleared up, and it gets muckier and muckier every day.
And go back to the weekend, you know, when he tweeted about, I think we've got this whole hacking issue under control, and it essentially
super cybersecurity unit.
Yeah, Mr. Putin and I will, you know, and it was the Republicans on Sunday who were guffawing, saying, are you serious?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Right. So, I mean, that's the thing. And I know that now they're talking about health care, interestingly enough. They're talking about maybe even getting to an initial health care redo on Thursday, that there's going to be a new Senate bill that's going to come out, which, by the way, is going to replace the tax on wealthy people to help pay for it, according to the Wall Street Journal. Now, a lot of conservatives in the Senate, you know, the super conservatives in the Senate, or the libertarians in the Senate, Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, people like that, are going to then, you know, they're not going to go for that. That they're hoping to get some Democrats by doing that to come on over. But it's and then Mitch McConnell announces he's not going to
go on vacation.
The Senate go on vacation for the first 3 weeks of August. He's only going to give him 2 weeks off at the end of August. And I think that's fascinating.
Well, and the president tweeted out on that, too. I cannot believe that Congress would dare to leave Washington without a beautiful new health care bill fully approved and ready to go.
Think that's enough time?
No.
Not given the history of how long they've struggled with the details so far.
And the president may find himself now. I mean, this does, I know for like 2 years we've been saying, well, this changes everything. I mean, come on. He can't say that. It's like 2 years ago he did the Mexican speech, right? It's like, and then we were like, oh, that's it. He can't. That's it. He's finished, right, as a politician. And now here's what you have. So, but I do think now that it's gotten into his house, you know, and it's you know, clearly Donald. I mean, there's no way, when you read the emails, there's no way out of it for Donald Trump Jr. There's no way out. Like, it may not be a crime.
Right.
But it certainly indicates what everybody thought, which was they did want information from the Russians. They wanted to work with them on it.
Right. And he lied about it.
Right.
He just flat out lied about it. So, you know, you're right. It may not be a crime. But, you know, however you measure the president's son and his influence in the administration, I know they say he is on the business end of it now. But, you know, come on. your family, you're sitting around dinners, you're meeting on weekends. A lie is a lie is a lie.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, enjoy covering it. We will for the rest of we're not going to do it all day, but there's obviously Brett Baer is going to join us coming up, as I mentioned.
That'll be good.
In a few minutes. We'll talk about what the Fox News Channel coverage scheme looks like for this. And the what does all this mean to them? Because they've also similarly been lied to. Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, that's a news organization. There's opinion
portions of it.
There are opinion blocks in it, like there are in CNN and MSNBC, but there's also a standard news operation. And Brett is, you know, basically the tip of that spear. Mm-hmm. And so the question is, you know, what happens there, and where does the rest of the agenda go here? So Brett will join us. Thank you very much, Mark. We'll see you tonight.
Thanks, Mark.
It all starts at 4 o'clock on Channel 9. Then the 5, the 6, the 9, and the 10.
Right.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Coming your way after 4:40, chance for everyone to win a pair of tickets to the 10th annual Chicago Blackhawks Convention, Chicago Hilton Hotel,
woo!
July 21st through 23rd. We're going to be doing a live broadcast there
a week
from Friday, all brought to you by Meijer, now offering home delivery across Chicagoland. All right, there's nothing to see here, people. Let's move along. Here's Brett Baer from the Fox News Channel. He's got he's going to do golf highlights, I believe, coming up tonight at 5 o'clock on Special Report. Yeah.
Yeah. Hi.
Oh, Brett.
I know.
What are you going to do? Hey, all right, well, let's talk about this. There is the White House today, the White House briefing. Obviously, they're not taking any questions on Donald Trump Jr.'s email exchange now with this European entertainment promoter who seemed to be the go-between between this entertainer, this Russian lawyer, and this oligarch, and Donald Trump Jr. seems to be clearly understanding or believing that this is a woman who, the lawyer is a woman who has connections to the Russian government and, you know, would be able to provide information, opposition research information about Hillary Clinton. How does Donald Trump Jr. get around all of this? And how does the Trump White House get around all this and continue on with the business of the people?
Well, I think this is a big stumbling block. It's a lot different than what White House officials had been saying for a long time. It's a lot different than what Donald Trump Jr. had been saying for a long time, was that, you know, one, he hadn't met with any other Russians that he knew of, two, or that he hadn't, the meetings hadn't been set up, and three, that the collusion thing and working with Russians against Hillary Clinton is just, you know, ludicrous. And, you know, this email that he sends out, and he's being praised by his father, President Trump, for what he said was transparency. Mm-hmm. The email comes out ahead of this New York Times story that it seemed like they had all the elements of the story and were just about ready to publish this email. And
when they apparently reached out to Donald Trump Jr. for comment, and that's
specific
what he chose to
put it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the email, as you saw, specifically references this lawyer having ties to the Russian government, using those words, and that the Russian government has an interest in helping Donald Trump defeat Hillary Clinton, and that there's information. It goes into a little bit of the information, and it's Hillary Clinton's dealings with the Russians, which also raises all kinds of questions. But that is the pretense for the meeting being set up. And so it's a lot different than it was originally talked about. It is hard substantive evidence. It is opening another door to this investigation, and it is not going to end anytime soon. This is just the beginning, I think.
Well, okay, so Donald Trump Jr. today was on Twitter this morning because the Today Show had an interview with this lawyer from Russia. And she said, well, no, I've never worked for the government. I'm not a government agent. I have nothing to do with this. And she denied everything. And then Donald Trump Jr., before these emails actually came out earlier today, had tweeted, hey, she even says she's not a government agent. So he was even doubling down this morning before this whole thing started to unravel with the New York Times phone call to him like, hey, we're about to publish. And it's very interesting because the New York Times put out a push notification. Mm-hmm. that they were in possession of the emails. And then within, I would say, half an hour of that, it appears, then that's when Donald Trump Jr. released his version of those emails. So let's to the broader question here. I think this is on the minds of a lot of Republicans, though. All right, if you want to do is a redo of healthcare or a redo of the budget or anything, you know, whether it's a big public works project or whatever, infrastructure, whatever those things are, or even Afghanistan. There's talk today that there's an Afghanistan policy that is going to be announced, a brand new one. Mm-hmm. How can they do that? Can they walk and chew gum, to use the term that they're using in Washington every day?
Well, I think they can. I think they probably, it may behoove them to move the Russian sanctions bill a little quicker to show that they're being tough on Russia. But I think that there will be, you know, Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, announcing today that August recess will be pushed back a couple of weeks, that they're going to have a vote on Obamacare repeal and replace, whether it passes or not. They're going to deal with judicial nominees that have been stalled. They're going to pass the National Defense Bill and, you know, move forward on a number of big-ticket items. But as far as, you know, tax reform, they're still, you know, churning away, and they think that they're going to get that done in the fall. It does slow the gears, though, when a lot of the focus is on this investigation. And I think, you know, Mitch McConnell can operate and rally Republicans behind the scenes, but the president's ability to move Republicans changes when there's a lot of doubt about what his White House has been saying about things.
Brett, is it your sense on this, the subject of health care, that Mitch McConnell is trying to get moderates on board and plans to pass it that way, by the moderates who don't like the deep cuts to Medicaid, et cetera? Or is there some sense that he actually would be reaching across the aisle and trying to get some Democrats on board? And do you ultimately believe that this bill, in some form of what we know about it, will pass the Senate?
So I think, you know, it's a little bit 60-40 against right now. We don't have all the details of it yet. We don't have a CBO score, Congressional Budget Office score, but that's probably in the next few days. I think that there will be a heavy push and pressure to get it across the finish line. They're not going to get Democratic support. And if it fails, then there will be an outreach to Democrats to try to fix what is on the table, and that is a spiraling Obamacare that is, you know, some states you have one or sometimes no choices about health insurers.
All right, so it becomes a question, because there was a story in the Wall Street Journal today that the new Senate bill, which we're going to see more about or hear more about on Thursday, or an update on it. I don't know how they want to phrase that. They're a little busy today trying to figure out how to dodge reporters' questions in the hallways. When they're doing that, they claim in this redo that there's going to be a replacement of that tax on high net worth individuals, on high income individuals. Mm-hmm. That millionaire's tax that was part of what was paying for this, that was an aggravating principle in the beginning of it for conservatives and libertarians. That's obviously going to take your Ted Cruz's and your Rand Paul's and some of the other conservatives out. And you know, you're going to see some Koch brother pushback on it, if that's in fact in the bill, and if there is more Medicaid support, that's also going to pull some people back out. I mean, you know, you just said something I think is very interesting, which is, you know, do they have to then come up with a Band-Aid as opposed to a repeal and replace?
I think they do. And they're working on hybrids if they can't get the full loaf. In other words, delaying some of those things. I've heard that, you know, that tax, you know, being taken out, delaying it 5 to 7 years for the implementation, pushing back some of the big changes to Medicaid over time to get the system settled. I mean, they're trying to do the full thing, then they're trying to do like a half a thing, and then they're going to punt and get Democrats and say, all right, let's fix this, what we have now, and move on to tax reform.
Before we let you go, I got to ask you this about Afghanistan, though. This is also developing today. We do understand there's going to be, and even Sarah Huckabee Sanders did, in answering one of the questions today at the press briefing, did say that we should expect a new Afghanistan policy coming out of the White House and the Department of Defense within the next week or so. And there has been some talk, and there's reports now in the New York Times and Washington Post that they're asking for the guy from Blackwater and some other private contractor types to weigh in on what those strategies should be. Is there some sort of expectation now in the Beltway of what we're going to be looking at?
Well, I know from a Pentagon perspective, they're looking at an increase of troops of somewhere 4,000 to 6,000, which is less than I think some of the commanders on the ground want. Some of the foreign countries over at the G20 and other meetings have offered troops to go in, the Brits, the Aussies, others. But I do think that there's going to be some element of this contractor situation where they try to work with the Afghan population and the soldiers there and eventually, you know, get to a point where U.S. troops can come out. But before doing that, they're going to have to increase the numbers on the ground.
Yeah, contractors. It's a, well, you know, we'll have to see. And will the Afghan government be paying for that? Will we be paying for that? And who's responsible for when things go right or go wrong there? And then finally, the White House press office and their operations here. I got to get your thought on this.
Oh, my gosh.
The siege.
Yeah, the no cameras allowed, or no you know, moving cameras. They can take still photos. Audio only, on tape delay. Obviously, they're trying to. There's a number of stories today also about why they're doing this. They're trying to they're basically trying to slow up the cycle if they can, using that kind of a tactic, the news cycle.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Listen, being a former chief White House correspondent, I'm an advocate for openness and access, and I think the press briefing is crucial. So I fight against that. I stand with the White House Correspondents Association. From a tactical perspective, from their point of view, they, I think, saw stars in the making and some of the press specifically catering some of the questions and how they asked it to being a C-SPAN star or a CNN star or a Fox News star, because we took every moment of every second of every briefing. And they want to take some of the sting away from some of that, and I don't know if it's the right way to think about it, but that's, I think, they're thinking.
Were they concerned that Spicer was becoming a star, or the reporters?
No, that the reporters asking these very pointed questions are doing it or souping it up a little bit for the cameras because they know how much they're watched. But listen, I mean, that happens in every administration. I covered Don Rumsfeld at the Pentagon, and it was must-see TV in the afternoon.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Well, that man never sat down. I mean, we all know that about him. He doesn't even own a chair.
We got skewered in that briefing.
Yes, he was going to think. All right, Brett, I know you got to run, but thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
All right, we'll see you.
All right, Brett Baier, Fox News Channel. All right, we're getting you ready for the 4 o'clock hour. Don't forget, Traffic Idol starts today on the program.
Can't wait. This will be fun.
Violetta's off this week, and one of the three of us, Judy, me, not four of us, I guess, Judy, me, Kevin, and Anna are going to audition
to
be the traffic reporter.
If we win the competition, does that mean we have to carry the extra burden of doing the job for the rest of the
week? Yes, that's correct. Does that mean you're going to throw it?
I don't know. I'm sort of thinking about that. I'm not sure I could win in this crowd anyway.
I'm definitely throwing it.
Yeah, I know. Maybe it's a good idea if we all throw it. Tom Skilling joins us.
Love me some Barry White.
Barry White. He was a classic, wasn't he?
It's hard to be stressed, too, when you're listening to Barry White. Just calms you down.
He really does. That voice was mellifluous, wasn't it?
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, perfect. It really was. And I love those musical bridges, too. They were very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how are you guys doing? Happy Tuesday.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Yes.
I'm
I know
for
just
Tuesday.
Recently taken some medication. And
I can't imagine why, Ro. There's nothing going on in the world to be upset about or anxious about.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice quiet. Everybody's getting along.
Again, it's a situation where I wake up in the morning and I look at the. I woke up first at 6 o'clock this morning and
right.
I looked at my phone.
Right.
And
Didn't
I was
like what you saw.
"Oh my God!" And then I was, and I read, for a little while, and Don Jr. was because the woman, the lawyer, was on the Today Show and said, "Look, she said she's not even she says she's not part of the Russian government. What are you people talking about?" And then all of a sudden, the New York Times calls him. By the way, it's sort of like, his secretary in the other room
is
sort of like
New York Times.
You know, hasn't this been? It really has been historic. There's not a day that goes by. It really is true.
It's so true. It is truly a 24-hour news cycle.
It really
every
is.
Every hour, no matter what time of day, something can break.
Mr. Trump Jr., New York Times in line two.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear that.
Boy, that's got to be a frightening. Can you imagine what must be going on?
Something about your emails. I'm not sure what they mean.
Right.
Something about they may have those emails, of them, because shortly after that he did release them, as we all know. And I was watching some of the cable news stations going back and forth between some of them, and they were processing these emails that had just been released. It was sort of this jaw-dropping moment when they saw that actually it was mentioned a Russian government lawyer, that it was phrased that way.
Right,
that
so was he would denial. Not know any different. I mean, he wasn't doing a whole lot of research, it didn't appear, on any of this, because he was taking it from a Russian pop star, right, whose father is the Donald Trump of Moscow. So,
oligarchs.
You get that going.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting that they played that Jake Tapper interview, which was done at the time, where he just categorically denies any, relationship or discussion with the Russians, and then throws it back at them, and says, "How dare you?" And this is just typical of the.
They're disgusting.
The slanted news coverage that's being done, and here we find out that he was engaged at the time in this. Apparently, if this report is true, it certainly is a fascinating period in our history. No question about that.
When Mark was on last hour, that's exactly what I was saying. Mark Sapelso comes on at 3 o'clock hour.
Yes,
with us. It was exactly that thought, which is every day. I guess we're sort of blessed and cursed to be living in these times.
Yes.
But it is, people go, people in the press, you're making all this stuff up. No, I mean, you see day in and day out when they have to change their stories. If we're making it all up, they'd stand by their story, and we wouldn't be able to. But they're changing their stories and having to adjust to it. I mean, there's four different iterations from Donald Trump Jr. about this particular incident.
Yes.
I mean, if this were as innocent as it, as he believed it to be, would it just come out and say, we met with a Russian about it. But, about
adoption,
if it were only about adoption. And by the way, to phrase it like that is missing the point of what that adoption story is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the New York Times did some reporting on that, I noticed last night, too, and pointed out that, that's not all sanguine either. If you just look at the story from that standpoint, that has implications, too.
I mean, if you want to look at it that way, they wanted to see if they could get, if a Trump administration would be willing to get them to pull back on the
sanctions,
specific sanctions against specific oligarchs in Russia,
right,
where we were holding their money here.
Right.
They had money invested here that the Obama administration wasn't letting them get out because they murdered a guy, Putin murdered a guy in prison who was a whistleblower on a billion-dollar financial transaction that was a fraudulent transaction here in the United States. And these oligarchs were involved in it. And then the whistleblower on that got murdered while he was in custody by the Russian government. And so we imposed all these sanctions on them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said, well, you know what? You
imposed by blocking our adoptions, right?
Correct, by blocking adoptions of Russian kids by American families.
Putin himself was involved with that, saying that this is what we're going to do, shut down that program.
Right. And so when they come in, when he... when Donald Trump Jr. says, well, they're talking about adoptions, that makes it seem like it's all about babies.
Right.
And really what it's about was lifting sanctions on the oligarchs.
Exactly. So that,
perpetrated a billion-dollar fraud in the United States.
Yeah.
And so he's in bed with the wrong people. They're all in bed with the wrong people. Yeah. And there's a chance here. The president has a chance to just turn this thing around and go, yes, the reason we didn't want to really talk about this, they kept offering us help. We won fair and square. We didn't cooperate with them in any way that made any kind of a difference until that comes out. And we're going to keep these sanctions in place. And yes, they are a strategic adversary of ours. And we're just going to continue to behave like America has basically since 1945 with the Russians, and just move on from that and go back and get off Twitter and start just trying to get stuff done legislatively. He saves his presidency. The more he fights and the more he obfuscates and gets mad and screams at people and he makes it into a circus that it will get nothing done.
Yeah, what do you guys think of this audio-only press conference routine that we're doing now? That's kind of strange, isn't it?
We just talked to Brett Baer about it, and I thought he had great insight into it, because he talked about how the administration's feeling was that the reporters and the correspondents, the White House correspondents, were becoming stars.
I see.
YouTube stars or Twitter stars.
Using it as a stage for their own purposes.
They were sort of putting on more of a show or asking questions in a certain way because they thought it would somehow bring more attention to them. But at the end of the day, the fact that you're not doing these in real time in some cases and it's audio only, it feels like the president used the word transparency today in relation to his own son. Feels like that takes away the transparency.
How true, Anna. It's true. These are fascinating times. You've got to say that about them. No question about it.
You want to penalize the press writ large here. That's what they want to do. They're trying to penalize the people telling the stories because they don't like the stories being told. Well, they are the ones who can change the narrative. And they can change the narrative by – there's a reason these stories are being told. There's a reason that there's a suspicion that they colluded or had some sort of inappropriate contact with Russians during the campaign. And now it's proven. It's not like there's a scintilla of proof. There is proof now.
Yes.
The son of the candidate.
Who brought in the other folks.
Paul Manafort, the campaign manager, and Jared Kushner. And I mean, we haven't gotten to those two yet in this. Everybody's focused on Don Jr. It met with who they believe to be a Russian government lawyer trying to get opposition research about Hillary Clinton. Now there's a lot of people defending this today. There are people on Fox News and on the internet and everywhere else that are in conservative talk radio who are saying, well, the Russians obviously had something on Hillary Clinton. And what was that? Why isn't that? Why aren't we talking about what that was?
Yeah.
Well, you know why? Because she lost and she's not president of the United States.
That's a good point.
And it doesn't matter anymore what they had on her, if they had anything on her. And nothing was presented in that meeting anyway. So at least so they say.
Well,
so,
you know, Roe, it's also said that people come to candidates with opposition research all the time. And, that's probably true.
No question.
Probably both camps are being approached by people that have dirt on the other or think they do. And try and get in and talk to the folks involved to see if this can be used in any way, shape, or form on behalf of a particular candidate. But it does seem kind of odd that we're talking to another country.
All the people now who've said, listen, if that happens, you're supposed to go to the FBI and tell them. But they seem to be courting it. And then they play the, well, we didn't know any better because we're new at all of this, which may well be true. Not Paul Manafort. No. Been in the business for 30 years.
Right.
Right? That's not the guy that guy knows what the rules are.
Sure he does.
Yeah.
So anyway, the point is this, that it now changes everything. There are also, three investigations into this. They do need, if the president's going to get a healthcare redo, he's going to get a new budget, he's going to get a works program, which is, essentially what an infrastructure program is, all those things that he wants to do, a wall, whatever else, and then keep the world from blowing up, he needs to have credibility, and he needs to be able to have political capital. And right now he's got a low approval rating. He doesn't have the political capital. The Republicans on Capitol Hill. Listen, Republicans have everything here the House, the Senate, the executive branch, they can do whatever they want. And they cannot seem to be able to get anything done substantively. The president's done, what, 29, you know, like executive orders. And there has been some legislation, but none of the big projects that people, you know, that people want and Wall Street has been waiting for. And if this is what, you know, this is what he promised and this is what the people who supported him really want him to do, he's going to have to answer to why he refuses, why they play a game with all of this.
And then we just happen to have a crazy over in North Korea, too, who's...
Oh, yeah, there's that
then
guy.
There's that.
You know, yeah. That, you know, who might decide that he's going to, you know, launch a intercontinental ballistic missile at one at us some at some point with a nuclear weapon. That's kind of scary. And I thought the weather was complex, you know?
I know. Something, man.
I'll tell you.
Well, by the way, we've learned, and we'll hear about this after 4:40. You should stay
tuned
for this.
Very important news, Tom.
Chipotle is going to introduce queso.
Queso.
Are you a fan of the queso, Tom?
I don't know that I know what it is.
You know, like the ooey gooey melted cheese that you just dip the tortilla chips in. And sometimes this is how I like it. Sometimes they chop up tomatoes and onions and jalapenos and put them in there.
It sounds marvelous and like something so I should definitely stay away from.
Oh, it's so good! I know. Mean, like Super Bowl parties, you often see it and things like that. But it's a favorite. You know, a Tex-Mex favorite.
It sounds marvelous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's so yummy.
Anna, you can fill us in on just how marvelous it is, and save us from ourselves.
Save me
from myself.
One of my true favorites, and then that Senator Ted Cruz kind of ruined it because he talked about it, and it was just a little gross the way he, you know, he referenced it. And he makes frequent appearances on this show, Tom.
The queso.
He does, because it's pretty creepy, gross.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, the guy, let's face it, I mean, this was a conversation he had, was it like almost a year ago now?
Yes,
I'm trying to remember when this was.
At least a year ago.
He was already out of the election at that point, and he was just, you know, asked about queso, because I guess it was he was meeting with Paul Ryan. It was a queso versus Wisconsin cheese,
yes,
kind
was
of
it.
Thing.
Yes,
but
that
it
was
like,
the context.
It was, and he got he had trouble. I mean,
He ventured into the world of the culinary arts.
Yes,
not just from politics.
That's what he did.
I know,
and
we all have opinions on, you know, things we eat, don't we? And what we like and all.
But
you
kind of made it gross.
You might remember this.
It just tastes good. It speaks to the soul. Good queso relaxes you. Look, if cheese dip can be served on a Ritz cracker or with one of those tiny Vienna sausages, queso is made to be scooped up with tortilla chips, dribbling down your chin and onto your shirt. One is a visceral, emotional, powerful family bond as you and your kids pour into nachos covered in queso. The other is party favors at an afternoon tea.
Well, you've got to hint it to him. There is emotion in that. He clearly loves it, and it's just his way of describing that. That's
absolutely,
all.
Tom.
Oh, Tom, don't be on his side on this one.
Oh, yeah.
Please.
Absolutely. You know what that feels like when that cheese goes right down your chin,
yes,
then down your neck, and maybe gets caught in your chest hair.
Now that starts getting a little bit.
See, that's where he takes it.
I get a little uneasy when we start going into that
Thank
area.
You.
And then it sort of gets a stain on your shirt that you see through, but it's like a yellow stain, but if there's tomato in it, then it's red and yellow, and people think, hey, did you get cut on your chest?
You know, you get those bleach pens, Senator, in case you get some queso on your white shirt, you can just...
Sometimes I put the Tide stick right on my own face.
Oh, right.
And I try to get the cheese right off that, although it's bleaching my beard.
Sure. Why would you waste it? If it's on your shirt, you could eat it later.
Sure.
You
know?
That's a good point.
Yeah. You lick it off,
Oh, Tom, thank you for saying that. That's what I like to do. Sometimes I take my shirt off and I just start licking it.
Sure, why let any of that go to waste, you know?
The inside of it,
See, this is how he killed queso for a lot of people, Tom. Thanks for asking.
Yeah. Yesterday he called us and he was talking about bone marrow, how he likes to suck the bone marrow out of like a calf's thigh or something. Geez. Whatever it was.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's too much.
Just... Now that is pretty gross.
That's too much. People love it though. All right, Tom. Just very quickly, is there rain coming through this evening?
Well, there are going to be clusters of thunderstorms tonight. The interesting thing, we're in a pool of intense moisture later tomorrow night. And this raises the specter of some flooding in some parts of the area.
Oh,
so,
God.
So we have a severe weather threat and the threat that we could get flooding downpours, if not here nearby. So that's what we're going to watch now for the next 24 hours.
All right. Yeah. So, Tom.
But it's going to get hot next week, too. This is Bill Snyder type heat, my producer.
Oh, anything.
He likes it when it's super, super hot.
Oh, he does.
10 degrees and the queso's bubbling in the sunshine.
You know, I tell him, I said, all right, if you like this so much, you can go and sit in our outdoor weather office. He says, that's great.
Yeah.
You know?
You too.
You like that too?
I'm going to come over and referee the two of you. All right, we got to run.
Okay.
Thank
you.
Thank you. Here is Judy Pilak with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spot.
Ooh, trouble's my middle name. Time now for sexy traffic. And we've got quite the hot spot on the inbound Edens just past Dempster. There's an accident on the bare shoulder. Now the inbound Ike, well, it's a slow, sultry 52 minutes from Thorndale to downtown. Slow it down, boys. There's always paradise by the dashboard lights. Okay, for traffic on the 7s or 8s or anytime on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. Approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago.
Very good audition. Leave your tape and your headshot and we'll get back to you.
They can charge drug dealers with murder and put them away for decades, so why don't Chicago police do it more often? Tonight's cover story, WGN-TV Evening News at 9 o'clock.
Yes, that was Judy's tryout for Traffic Idol. We're doing that today. Everybody's doing their own traffic report.
What did you think,
today.
Simon?
Quite disgusting.
Really?
Yeah.
Simon would have loved that. Yeah, you don't know Simon.
Hey, by the way, coming up after 4:40, I got a chance for you to rip us off for a pair of tickets to the Chicago Blackhawks fan craziness, Chicago Blackhawks convention on Friday, 21st through the 23rd. We're going to be there, by the way, on the 21st, on Friday, a week from Friday.
Great.
Performing our thoughts. It's at the Hilton Chicago Hotel, 720 South Michigan Avenue, all brought to you by Meijer, now offering home delivery across Chicagoland. So stay tuned for that.
Nice.
All right.
You're a giver.
I'm a giver.
It's a good thing to win.
Yeah, I'm a giver, all right.
Good luck.
So just to point out, that was Judah's audition. We got more auditions coming away throughout the afternoon here. You'll be hearing me. Good luck, everyone. Well, I was doing my own audition yesterday.
Yesterday was, we couldn't really understand the traffic, but there were a lot of production values. Couldn't hear what you're saying.
I thought it was more of an art piece. It was an art piece more than it was a traffic report. Kevin's got his own coming up. Anna has hers coming
up. I have one.
Pretty soon.
Okay.
Yeah. So
be ready.
See what goes on there.
Everyone's scrambling now.
I know. After that performance, it's like, how do you follow it?
Mm-hmm.
Judy gets out there up front and really, with that.
Judy's got WGN News coming your way in 2 minutes.
And now, here's Anna DeVlantis.
Traffic also brought to you from the top of the Trump Tower, Chicago, today. It's the most biggest, most beautiful building in Chicago. I don't know if you know that. Inbound Edens, 27 minutes from Lake Cook Road to the junction, only 16 minutes outbound. That's good.
Yes.
Great even. We're making the Edens great again. Inbound Kennedy, 61 minutes from O'Hare to downtown. Bad. Very bad.
We really do have to get going.
Yeah, let's get going. 33 minutes outbound. What's going on with these people? Inbound Edens, 51 minutes from the old post office to Thorndale. 48 minutes outbound. That's okay.
No.
No, maybe not. No, we don't like that yet. That we're going to improve that. We're going to make it better. Inbound Stevenson, 43 minutes from 355 to Lakeshore Drive. 37 minutes outbound. Inbound Dan Ryan, 17 minutes from the Burns Circle to 95th. Big league.
You're not a nice person.
No, you're not a nice person. Drive faster. 33 minutes on the reverse trip on the Dan Ryan on the southbound tri-state. Two left lanes blocked at Balmoral due to an accident.
I don't give a damn.
Yeah, terrible. Total train wreck out there. We're going to make the tri-state great again. Believe me, believe me. Traffic on the 7s or 8s anytime on demand. Get the Traffic Chicago app. Approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search Traffic's Chicago.
I thought it was terrific.
Yeah, thank you.
It was clean. It was nice. And the bed was good.
Woo! That's an ending.
I think he was listening to my traffic on that one.
Yeah. Referencing the wrong scenario, but that's okay. It was perfect.
It was perfect. It was very good.
We made traffic great again.
Yes, you did. Thank you. That is Anna's audition for Traffic Idol today.
Thank you.
We're replacing Violetta for the rest
no,
of the week.
No, we're not. Oh, just this week.
Yeah.
Yes.
She'll be back on Monday, yes. I'm told.
Well, it depends.
If she's not back
well,
in the country.
Kevin does.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I think traffic and sports is quite a pair.
Mm-hmm. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right, that was Anna's traffic idol attempt right there. And
I'm happy to see it to Judy, but, you know, fun.
That was pretty funny. Don.
Thanks. Thank you. Just don't call me Don Jr.
Everybody
right?
is.
Not a good thing right now.
Like now, Violetta's off this week, so we've all been trying to do that. We're sharing traffic responsibilities.
If that's what you call it.
If that's what you call it. That's what you, and so. So we've all tried to kind of make it our own. We've all tried to do it, do something that's a little wacky.
Mix it up a little.
It's artsy
have
traffic.
Some fun.
Yeah. Yesterday I did it from the WGN helicopter. We had a little trouble getting it off the ground, though, as I recall during one of the traffic reports.
Skycam 9.
Yeah. It took about 90 seconds for the engine to actually rotate up to get us up and going.
Yeah,
so.
There was more right getting off the ground than there really was traffic.
Yeah, I had no idea that it took a helicopter that long, so we had a little trouble with that. But other than that, we've had some fun and we'll continue to do it. We got Kevin coming up. He in the 5 o'clock hour. I in the 6 o'clock hour. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try something new.
Okay, not the helicopter.
Not the helicopter. Mm-mm. I decided that I tried a helicopter and a biplane yesterday, and I don't think either of those helped. I have a different plan.
Okay. We'll see what you got. Mm-hmm. And then who gets to decide in this
traffic
idol?
Yeah, the listeners are asking if they can vote.
They can vote. They can weigh in on the text line.
Well, many of them are saying that I won, just so you know.
Yeah, could you double check that?
And some are saying they had an accident after the traffic report.
Right, the super sexy
traffic
report.
I don't even want to know what kind of accident.
When Judy got, she got like all like oh, creepy sexy there too. That was like a little
creepy.
Something.
She got into it. Yeah. Give her credit for that.
You don't know sexy, okay?
Judy, if you win this, are you going to do that the entire week?
No, I am. You know what? As a matter of fact, the winner does traffic, right?
That's
so,
the rest. Oof. That's the prize.
I might need to do another entry here.
Oh, because you've already won. Is that the issue?
That's the assumption.
I don't know. Anna was pretty good,
All
have
right,
to say.
Thank you.
So.
I just want to say I really enjoyed Judy's traffic a lot.
As much as queso, Ted Cruz?
Almost as much as queso, because it was kind of dripping in my ears, her traffic.
Yeah. I thought that America had lost the taste for queso after Ted Cruz described it, but Chipotle is saying they're going to offer it pretty soon.
Imagine eating queso while listening to that report, Senator.
Oh. Because then I can just swirl it around in my mouth and I can listen. Sometimes when you swallow real hard, you almost feel it in your ears. So I'm going to hear Judy in my ears, and then the queso's going to pass like the inside of my ear and go across. Oh, it's too much.
Seriously, you're ruining my chances here. Stop.
You've got a senator's vote, Judy. You should be proud.
You know what? I'll pass on that senator's vote.
You know what I like about the idea that Chipotle is going to be doing this?
Huh. What do you
is
like?
That maybe they'll make another mistake? Because there's nothing like queso when it goes in or it comes out. It's delicious on both ends.
Oh, yuck. It's just disgusting.
All right, that's enough of that. That was disgusting. That was wrong, people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get some nachos tonight.
Kevin hungry.
Just a little Tex-Mex. You know.
I know, no matter what we do,
Taco
no matter
Tuesday.
What we do, Kevin gets hungry on the show.
I know.
Doesn't matter how disgusting we make whatever it is.
Any mention of food.
Yeah, he loves it.
No matter what context.
Can't be stopped.
Even the roadkill recipes somehow.
All right.
Got him hungry.
Hey, right before we go any further, let me give away these Parrot tickets right now to the to what is going to be the event of the summer. You want to get ready for the 2017-2018 season of the Chicago Blackhawks? Chicago Blackhawks Convention, Friday, July 21st through the 23rd. We're going to be there on the 21st from 3 to 7. See current Blackhawks players, alumni, Q&A, panels, exhibits, interactive games, and so much more. It's all taking place at the Hilton Chicago Hotel, 720 South Michigan Avenue, all brought to you by Meijer, now offering home delivery across Chicagoland. 19th caller, 312-981-7200. 19th caller, 312-981-7200.
Good luck.
Patrick Sharp's back. Right?
Sod's back.
That's Sod. Right, they're bringing back. They're trying to put the 15 team back together.
Put the band back together.
The reunion tour.
Yeah. It's basically what they're trying to do.
Fans are going to go nuts for the opening ceremony, which I believe will be during the show that Friday, which we always carry, and they're going to go nuts when Patrick Sharp's introduced.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's for sure.
Very popular, especially with the ladies, I've heard.
Even I like him. Mm. He's got such pretty eyes.
Oh, wow.
He's a good-looking guy.
Yes, he is. I don't like it like that, because my mom said that was naughty.
What?
Oh, my gosh.
Aren't you a grown man?
Yeah.
Sort of.
All right. Stick to those food reviews and leave the Blackhawks reviews to us. Okay? Right.
I think that's a very good point. Mm. That's a very good point. All right. Who's got the – now who has the traffic? Is it you again, Judy?
Another report? Fine, I got it. Don't you want to say it officially, the traffic trouble spot?
Here's Judy. Are you going to do something funky?
No, I'm going to do a straight one.
Oh.
I think I've got to let people cool down a little bit.
From the excessive heat of your last one? People were so turned on the roadway.
Excessive heat warning coming up. Okay.
Judy, we're getting reports of stiff traffic jams on 94. Can you confirm that?
Yeah.
People just need to slow down.
It's bumper to bumper.
And I mean slow.
Oh, yeah.
Slow. Right there.
Judy's traffic trouble spot brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation.
Oh, my gosh.
Up on Kennedy at North Avenue, left lane blocked due to an accident. Slow down. What's the rush? Fast is never good.
Yeah.
Inbound O'Hare to downtown. Ooh, it's over an hour.
Take your time.
For traffic on the 7s or 8s or anytime on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago.
I got a better idea about the traffic idol. I think whoever wins should get to designate who does it for the rest of the week, because that's a better prize.
That is a better prize.
Judy, you're the leader in the clubhouse, just so you know.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
There are some pretty funny texts.
Not everybody has gone yet.
Yeah, so Kevin, you could top me. That's how idol works.
Yeah, no big deal. See, already Judy's posted very high marks. As the president would say, he likes to say marks, like he's his own grandfather.
Beautiful.
Yeah, because that's what that's what my grandfather. How are your marks in school? I've been like, I don't know. What are you talking about? I don't know what that means. Anyway, Judy has posted some big scores. Big scores.
She has.
Yeah, and people are liking the sexy Judy, which we've never seen here before.
No.
This is
it's
something
a new appearance.
New.
Yeah. A lot of sides to me you haven't seen.
Apparently.
Yet.
It took this game to bring it out.
Even
like
when
it.
We take Judy out, we have a few cocktails, we've never seen Judy get all like sort of, ooh.
We've heard about it.
She's
though.
Normally whispering in the bartender's ear.
I
so
do that
hear.
When I leave. I go. Remember, I always go, oh, I got to go.
Although
I got someplace to be.
Although Stella got her groove back all the time. I totally see that. When Judy says she's going on vacation somewhere, I'm like, oh, God, look
all
out
right.
Wherever that town
Watch
is.
Out.
Right. She's like jumping over the bar. She's like Coyote uglying it, right? Like on the bar. She's up there dancing. And
nobody knows me in other countries or states or sometimes cities.
Take me home, make love to me, or say goodbye forever.
I'm going to use that one.
Yeah.
What's your best one, Judy? Do you have one?
No, I don't ever give up. I don't never divulge that information.
Okay.
It's top secret.
773, Love and Judy's 50 Shades of Traffic.
That is something. That is something.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
It's great.
Violetta texted me. Did I say something? I just said it to you. Violetta texted me last night from, and it must have been the middle of the night in Serbia. She's like, I heard you guys are doing like a traffic idol. I'd like to audition. She's afraid. She's already afraid that we're replacing her with this. And I go, it's we're the ones competing in it. Oh.
Yeah, just for this week.
Oh.
Then she returns to her normal job on Monday.
Oh. And then I never heard from her again. It was crickets after that.
She's like,
it was like, oh,
phew.
All right, fine.
Back to partying.
Yeah.
Because trust me, do this a few days and no one's going to want this job.
Right. Back to boom, 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 boom. Yeah. There you go.
Other things taking her attention. Mm-hmm. In Serbia.
Yeah. Did you, I mentioned this yesterday. I should tell you about this story very quickly here. Mm-hmm. We only have a few minutes here, but this is pretty interesting. Experts say that humans are the actual aliens on the planet Earth.
Ooh.
That we were actually dropped here. You know, we've been like, where are the aliens? Let's go look for the aliens. Turns mm-hmm. out we're the aliens. We were dropped here by spaceships from another planet, another culture somewhere. We were the dumb ones, and then we just, we basically evolved.
I knew it. Yeah. I knew it.
So they discarded the humans because they were the dumb ones? They just kind of said, off to another planet? They, like, banished us?
A Sumerian king list states that there's, in Sumeria, which is modern-day Iraq, that there was a gigantic flood, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that seems to be the back to 3500 BC.
Mm-hmm.
It's a theory on that. And that after that was... After that flood, there apparently are Sumerian writings in hieroglyphics
mm-hmm.
that indicate that it was basically that humans had developed electricity, divided the atom, developed computers, and led a man to the moon, and then this gigantic flood happened and took all of that away. And then, whoever was left had no memory of it and just, started all over again. Because we'd already been here.
Sounds legit to me.
Yeah.
I guess we can go with that. Where is this from?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
I would just like to say that makes complete and utter sense to me. I have been telling you about that, Kevin Powell, since the very, very beginning of our relationship, which I still hold very near and dear to me, even though you refused to bring me my cat food for dinner.
I'll bring you the cat food. I know you're running low on the Chef Boyardee.
I prefer Friskies.
Friskies, okay. That's the good stuff. Medium rare.
I like the tuna and salmon mix, personally. I think it's very, very good on rye bread.
With a little chopped onion on top?
I happen to think that this report is completely what I've been telling you the whole time, and I don't know why it is that you refuse to believe me. By the way, if you can also get me a little Sheba on the side, because I do like to do that, because the Sheba's got a little bit more vegetables in it.
Oh, God.
Gotta get your fiber.
I also like antioxidants.
Really? Where do you get those?
In Sheba. Plus, the kitty is so cute on the canister. I've got to go now.
Oh, thank God. Learn something new every day.
Yeah. Whether we want to or not. That's basically how this goes. It's always something. It's always something going on here. All right. Judah Pollack standing by, getting us ready for the news coming your way on 720 WGN in just about 2 minutes. Even watching the top recaps here of the stories today, it's mind-blowing. We are living in a moment of American history that they will be talking about for maybe centuries to come. I don't know how we're getting out of it, but all I know is we're in it.
We're in it. And you haven't seen anything quite like this before.
No. And then we haven't heard traffic quite like Judy's been doing it either ever before. And whoa, my...
People are driving off the roads. They say, just pulling over because they can't take it.
Yeah. So it's getting hot in here, isn't it? All right.
Everyone cool down.
Oh, God. Okay, here we go. We know what we have here. We have a top 5 of 5. That's
one thing we can rely on.
It's It's the Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Now home of the Edge, kitchen and bath showroom.
It's the Top 5 on the Rokan Show. Let's go!
Checking in at
number 5.
All right. Well, here is the one of the congressional responses to today's news that Donald Trump Jr. actually met with a Russian lawyer whom he believed to be a Russian government lawyer, hoping to get dirt on Hillary Clinton in June of 2016, because he had been promised that, agreed to the meeting, thinking that's what he was going to get, and instead it was a bunch of gobbledygook that he didn't understand. At least that's what he claims now. I mean, who knows?
Who knows what was exchanged, the context?
Right. But whatever it is, here is Senator Lindsey Graham calling these developments disturbing.
Anytime you're in a campaign and you get an offer from a foreign government to help your campaign, the answer is no. So I don't know what Mr. Trump Jr.'s version of the facts are. He has to testify. That email is disturbing. But what is equally odd to me is that the person they met with knew absolutely nothing. So I don't know why they would pick somebody for him to meet with that didn't have any information about the Clinton campaign. But on its face, this is very problematic. We cannot allow foreign governments to reach out to anybody's campaign and say, we'd like to help you. That is a non-starter. I know Donald Trump Jr. is new to politics. I know that Jared Kushner is new to politics, but this is going to require a lot of questions to be asked and answered.
See, one of the turns in this story today is as Trump loyalists are trying to spin this in a positive direction for the president. The president, the spokesperson of the president, Sarah Sanders, today was in a non-televised, or at least live televised and not photographed briefing, cameras off briefing. She said the president is very frustrated that this, you know, this story continues to haunt us. Well, okay, here's the problem. It's not that the Russians were it does not appear to be the Russian government trying to send somebody here to give him these deep, dark secrets. He believed he was getting the deep, dark secrets. That's part of the email exchange that Donald Trump Jr. was on.
That was the part that I think was stunning today. I think you could use that word. The exchange was about, this is obviously very high-level, sensitive information, part of Russia and its government support for Mr. Trump. And then his response was, if it's what you say, I love it.
Right. So he wanted the information. Now, he didn't necessarily get it, and this woman may, as it turns out, not have been sent to give him that information, but instead to try to lobby him to drop sanctions against oligarchs whose money was being held here by the Obama administration because they murdered the leaker in Russia of the who. All right. But I got to step back here because it's a Russian nesting doll story. There was a $1 billion financial fraud here in the United States that was perpetrated by a few politically connected Russian oligarchs. Their money was frozen here, and there was a trial, and there was a deposition that was called. This woman, this lawyer, came to the United States representing these oligarchs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the meantime, the whistleblower who tipped the United States to this fraud and who the oligarchs were was arrested in Russia and murdered in prison.
Russian prison.
Now, at that point, the Obama administration said, hey, all right, they perpetrated a fraud. They killed the whistleblower. We're going to freeze all the assets of these oligarchs here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think an unreasonable response by the United States government to that action, right? I don't care who the president is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure George W. Bush would have done the same.
I think.
Issue is, now this woman was coming to the United States to try to get that oligarch money released if the Trumps won. And she didn't have negative information about Hillary Clinton as the people who were setting up the meeting were telling Donald Trump Jr., who was salivating over the notion of that.
As he had hoped, it seemed. The reason he came to the meeting, hoping to get that information.
She brought information about, she was basically saying, hey, listen, you need to lift these sanctions, and then we'll start our baby adoption program back with you, because there's a lot of families in America who want to adopt children from Russia. Right? I mean, and we had, and the Russians had cut that off here after we seized the money. Mm-hmm. The United States government locked down the Russian money here.
Right, direct response to that action.
Right. So this is really, and that's what it was all about. So when Donald Trump Jr. goes, well, it was about baby adoptions. No, it was about lifting the sanctions on those and giving the money back to the oligarchs who'd parked their money here. That's what it was really about. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, well, it didn't make any sense. He didn't want anything to do with it, and goodbye. Right? But in the meantime, it was like, ah, damn it, I didn't get the Hillary Clinton stuff.
But don't you think, I mean, the point there that was just made is a fascinating one, if nothing else, because you think the lure was great enough and believable enough that Manafort, Jared Kushner, and Donald Trump Jr. all decided to take this meeting with this Russian-connected lawyer, as she was described in the emails.
And she makes it to
number four.
So NBC's Keir Simmons snagged the interview with her in Europe. Mm-hmm. He sat down with her, Natalia Veselnitskaya. Veselnitskaya.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly right.
Mm-hmm. And NBC asked her, hey, well, did you have damaging information on Hillary Clinton?
In June, you met with Donald Trump Jr., with Jared Kushner, with Paul Manafort. What was the purpose of that meeting?
I never knew who else would be attending the meeting. All I knew that Mr. Donald Trump Jr. was willing to meet with me. I could recognize the young gentleman who was only present in the meeting for probably the first 7 to 10 minutes, and then he stood up and left the room. It was Mr. Jared Kushner, and he never came back, by the way. And the other individual who was at the same meeting was always looking at his phone. He was reading something. He never took any active part in the conversation. That was Mr. Manafort.
I gotta check the scores.
Yeah, really, what was he doing? His evil empire.
Golden State's up by 3. I got the under in this game. I don't know. I don't know. You know, whatever he's doing, who knows? I don't know.
She says she doesn't represent the Russian government. Only herself is the point she was making.
Yes, that's what she... And somehow... I don't understand this, but somehow Donald Trump Jr. is taking some sort of comfort in that, and he's using that as cover. Like, hey, she didn't even have the information. She doesn't work for the Russian government. But the point is, you took the meeting thinking she did, and she had the information.
Which became clear with the email released today that he released ahead of the New York Times releasing it before they could get to it.
Here's one more moment of Ms. Veselnitskaya.
They had the impression, it appears, that they were going to be told some information that you had about the DNC. How did they get that impression?
It's quite possible that maybe they were looking for such information. Oh. They wanted it so badly.
Have you ever worked for the Russian government? Do you have connections to the Russian government?
Нет. No.
Нет. You should see the expression on her face, too. No. It's radio when she says it. It's sort of like, yeah, no, I don't.
Scoffed at it.
So funny. Like, you think I do. Maybe I will tell you the truth later. Buy me a drink. This is, see, that's exactly what they thought. But then she throws them under the bus. Maybe they wanted it so badly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Oh, God. It's the United States of America, people.
I know.
Okay. All right, we'll get to your 3, your 2, and your 1. But first, Judy Pilak has a WGN traffic trouble spot. All right.
And then there's this.
Yes.
Play ball. Celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com. Check it out today.
All right. Are we prepared to move on to the top 5 and 5?
We are. Yeah.
Yes,
got a thumbs
are.
Up.
All
sure.
Right, here we go. Checking in at
number 3.
The terrifying moment: an Air Canada jet nearly landed on 4 other planes on Friday.
Oh wow! That's oh my gosh.
We have the audio. Pilots in the control tower at San Francisco International can be heard remarking in astonishment as the aircraft narrowly missed them on the packed taxiway.
Oh my gosh.
The moment which could have claimed more than 1,000 lives was nearly a history-making catastrophe.
One expert said, greatest aviation disaster in history avoided.
And, so I just want to confirm this, camera 759, we see some lights on the runway there, across the runway. Can you confirm the clear to land?
Air camera 759, confirm clear to land, runway 28 right, there is no one on 28 right, flight view.
Okay, camera 759.
Where's this guy going? He's on the taxiway.
Air camera, go around.
In the go around, air camera 759.
Looks like we're lined up. Flying 280, climb maintain 3000.
Heading 280-3000, that count of 759.
United 1, Air Canada flew directly over us. Block, this United 1, Air Canada flew directly over us.
Yeah, I saw that, guys.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
How calm they are, and thank God they are, because they're thinking straight. But it's just incredible.
It is amazing how calm they are, because at that point, so imagine what's happening there. They're on the taxiway. They were getting ready, and the Air Canada pilot somehow it thinks that the taxiway is the runway, and he's about to touch down on it, and it's unclear. I don't know if he actually did touch and go, but you know, there he is, and he takes off, and he gets right up over them again.
But I mean, if you can imagine, you've got four passenger aircraft on the runway, full of fuel, ready to take off, and
right.
this
and he plows into them.
Oh.
Okay.
Praise God.
Wow. All right. It is amazing how calm they are. Oh, it always makes you feel good when you hear that.
It does. That really made me feel good. I thought we were going to start hearing some swear words at some point.
But which means if the pilot is panicking, it is time to panic.
It's so true. You always look at the flight attendants' faces first. You always say that.
Yeah. Well, that's when, like, last week when the pilot was, like, praying. Remember at the top five, the pilot was, like, praying with the passengers. It's time for you all to pray because of the turbulence, because the plane.
Don't want to
because
hear
the
that.
Engine blew up or whatever. And they're like, oh, no.
And then, oh, by the way, look at the engine to see if it's on fire. Let me know, okay? So report back. That part wasn't helpful either. But thank God this one turned out okay.
Gentlemen, it's your camera from flight deck. If you could just take a look out the left side of the aircraft, see if the engine's still attached, we'd really appreciate it. It'll be here on the flight crew. Really appreciate it. Start praying now, Lord.
Oh, no.
You never want to hear that.
That's not what you want to hear.
No, no.
That wouldn't be comforting at all.
No, bad idea. All right. Checking in at
number two.
Rachel Lindsay got treated to harsh truth on The Bachelorette from one of her favorite suitors. He told her he's not going to propose if he isn't ready. Peter Krause got brutally honest with Rachel on last night's episode, first telling her a super sad story about his last girlfriend. Then saying if he felt any doubt about proposing come game time, he would let her know.
And I hope to be ready to give my heart up again to someone else.
Like, where are you now, though? Like, do you feel like you're ready now to open yourself up?
I can only say I think that I am. So if I get to the end of this, ends with you, and I do get down on a knee and propose and we are engaged, I want it to be because that is 100% where my heart is at that time.
Do you feel like if you are at the end and you don't feel that way, that you wouldn't do it?
If I am having reservations and we're getting that far into it, I would let you know.
Oh, she gets to meet the family next week. I wonder how that's going to go.
Well, this is interesting. Remember when she talked about all the racism and all that stuff and that she was feeling? Well, you see why they did that now.
Because
she's
narrow
white
down
guys.
To all white guys.
Yeah, she's basically gonna pick a white guy, and it's gonna and so now it's gonna be an issue, right? And it's sort of like now, but they had to pre-frame it like, yeah, it's not that, it's just you know I can't believe all of this pressure that I'm under,
and that the Waboon guy really wasn't my guy, that guy somehow wasn't that appealing.
Oh man. So anyway, but it's still the same, you know, bad acting by these people.
Yeah, it is.
Oh.
It feels fairly scripted, doesn't
it? All right. And oh, this is a good one.
Number one.
Oh God. Shia LaBeouf.
Oh no.
At it again. There's now officer body cam video of him getting on it with a Georgia police officer. And arguing with cops about his Saturday arrest. That was in Savannah. He was drunk in public which is true of every Saturday night.
Feels like it. He's had quite a few incidents now.
He's in a hotel lobby, and the video takes place inside the lobby of a hotel, and he's like right up on the police officer.
Coward, f*** you and your legacy. You're a f*** for leagues. Not for years. A f*** for leagues. And you put your own kind in the f*** pen for nothing. You put a white man in the pen for what? For asking for a black man for a cigarette? That's your country.
Oh, boy. There's a point. You got to commend these officers because there are moments there when they sort of laughing and being like, all right, whatever, guy. We can see that you're inebriated and just sort of deal with it very professionally. Mm-hmm. But, oh, my gosh.
That's when you want to pull the taser out, though.
You kind of do, you know. Just when your training doesn't sort of kick in, you just feel like, you know what, this warrants it, right. Doesn't it, guys?
Yeah. Come on. And they all look at each other. Like, everybody with me on this?
Cameras around anywhere.
It's Shia LaBeouf. Come on. Does he deserve a little? Come on. There you go.
Oh, gee. Oh.
Oh. All right. Shall we? Yeah, yeah, let's do it.
The top five at five.
WGN Traffic, sponsored by Presence Health. The school.
This will be good.
Can't wait.
Kevin, don't screw this up.
Yeah.
The school year is almost here, and it's time for your child's yearly physical. Presence Health offers plenty of locations near you. Visit presencehealth.org/docs to schedule an appointment today. And now here he is, Kevin Pylon Powell, with the traffic.
Pile up Powell. Kevin Pileup Powell.
I was going to go with Kevin Crash Powell, but maybe that one's a little bit better. All right, folks, we're here helping you get home safe and sound. No big deal. Whether you're driving to dinner or heading home from work or getting a ride home from your mom, that's what I like to do during rush hour.
I need a ride. I need to do the traffic. Could you ride it for me?
It's nice when your mom drives you during rush. You can text. You can have a snack in the back. Yeah. Anyways, here's what the roads are looking like for you. Inbound Edens, 20 minutes from Lake Cook Road to the junction. 18 minutes OB. I'm assuming that stands for outbound.
Ah, damn it. Ah, the hell.
The Kennedy, an hour from O'Hare to downtown, 52 minutes OB, outbound.
That's not Ed Obradovich.
That's a classic case of TMC.
Yeah.
You know what that's short for? You know millennials like to abbreviate stuff.
What is that?
That's short for too many cars on the road.
Oh, TMC.
Yeah, just a nice little abbreviation there. Inbound Eisenhower, 56 minutes from the old post office to Thorndale, 31 minutes on the flip. See, I know the traffic lingo. Stevenson inbound, 42 minutes from 355 to Lakeshore Drive, 39 minutes outbound. Inbound Dan Ryan, 24 minutes from the Burn Circle to 95th, 27 minutes on the reverse trip. And in Northbrook on the Eden Spur, eastbound past Waukegan, the right lane's blocked due to an accident. So keep your eyes on the road, folks. We don't need any of that rubbernecking, looky-loo spectator slowing situation.
Ma! Keep your eyes on the road! Keep driving!
I'm texting back here, but you go ahead and drive.
None of that rubbernecking stuff. For traffic on the 7s or 8s or anytime on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. I don't really know what those are because I still live at home. I'll Google about it when I need to. Mm-hmm. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. Just rolls right off the tongue. I'm Kevin Crash Powell. No big deal. That's my traffic report from Traffic Central.
I think your mom should
be very
proud.
I like Pile Up Powell better.
What is it? Pile Up?
Pile Up Powell.
Oh, I said pile on.
Yeah. Pile on is like what
at
you do in school.
At this point, pile on might
or
be better.
What we do here yes. on the show, we do a lot of piling on.
We do. Yeah. We do that. Yeah. I think your mom would be very proud of that traffic report.
Thanks.
Yeah,
I'm,
nice
really,
job.
I'm proud of that one.
Mm-hmm. My, I read your traffic report.
Went well.
I need a hot pocket.
You said it went well.
You'd be picked up at 7 sharp. That's when the show ends, Mom.
We'll have a
well,
trophy
which,
for you,
which expressway should she take, Kevin, to get you?
If I were her, God, the Kennedy's just brutal.
You can't even interpret it by looking at it.
I'd probably go outbound on the Edens.
She won't get here
if she goes outbound on the Edens.
Oh, you're saying if she were here to pick me up. Yeah, yeah. She's going to have to take the Kennedy. That's the only real route, Mom. Good luck. That's an hour from
my hair. You might want to leave now.
Yeah. Bring some snacks, too, please.
Oh, God. This is going great. It
really is.
Rocon Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. We're doing traffic idle today, deciding who's going to do the traffic for the rest of the week while Violetta's off.
I think we have to say that Kevin wins, because then it'll be fun to watch Violetta get mad at Kevin when she gets back that he did traffic better than she did. And, you know, that might be fun.
You're going to expect me to do sports and traffic? That's a whole lot for me to handle, guys. I don't know if I could do that.
It's true.
Let's make it clear here that we're not actually writing the traffic. Someone else is, and we're just reading it.
I know.
That's how easy the job is, okay? Right. You have to read 5 lines.
How bad we really are.
Yeah, with words like
work.
To and from. Uh-huh. I mean, I don't know. We're all complaining. Ugh, so hard.
It's kind of hard to say Burn Circle to 95th and TRAFFXIX Chicago.
Okay,
hard to say
that
as
is
well.
A little bit difficult.
And OB was confusing, kind of stopped.
I just
there
kept
for a
thinking football, Obradovich.
Mm-hmm. Wow. We'll see why that
you
happened.
Know, there are people wow. driving home right now who literally have been standing out, like digging a highway up, right? Uh-huh. You know, with shovels. Or they're standing in a hole. When they were doing like Clark Street, there were guys like standing in a hole where there was like water and electricity and rats. And
saw that on the bridge right here at Michigan Avenue in the river. You were doing that the other day.
Standing in human poop. Mm-hmm. And right now, you got a 28-year-old kid who's like, I just, you know.
I don't know. OB, that's a weird word.
I don't know.
What
it's like OB and TRAFFI.
Two Fs together, I had to say. I can't do it.
It's tough.
I need to take a nap.
It's a physically demanding job.
Right after I have a snack that my mom's going to bring me.
Maybe a ham sandwich.
Did your mom text you yet, tell you you did a good job? Check
your
phone.
No, not yet.
Okay.
Right. Right now there's a firefighter like climbing up a flight of stairs with a gigantic, like, you know, with a 400-pound person on a stretcher, you know, trying to get them up and out of a basement.
75 pounds of gear on his body and the heat.
Yeah. And then
his mom doesn't call.
There's a cop making a traffic stop right now and
not
doesn't
knowing.
Know if he's going to, you know, it's and
then,
I don't know. It's like the F and the F together. I don't know if I can just
difficult
read.
To say.
So hard.
Double F.
F-F-I-S.
I'm hungry.
I don't know.
I am pretty hungry right now.
Ow. I have to do sports and traffic?
No.
It's a whole lot.
Okay. Anyway. All right. So the top story today, obviously, is what has happened here in New York City more than anywhere else, wasn't it, in Washington, where you got Donald Trump Jr., who today released his own emails concerning his meeting with the Russian lawyer that took place in June of last year. And people are like, oh, just get over it. Who cares? Nothing happened. That's what a lot. The response to this thus far by those who would like to either see all this go away or, you know, the pro-Trump people who are like, yeah, this just... Give me my tax cut. Let's move along. Or I love this guy because he's blowing up everything and driving all you people nuts. The response has been really pretty interesting, which is this is nothing. Those are people who weren't even connected to anything, who tried to get in with the Trumps. Mm-hmm. And they were taking advantage of the Trumps. And this is nothing. This amounts to nothing. The problem with that argument, I just remind people, is it's not that, and that's all true, by the way, that they didn't, as far as we can tell, it doesn't appear that they provided any kind of intelligence about Hillary Clinton or told them they were going to do anything with intelligence they had about Hillary Clinton, and didn't seem to be collusion along that line, although mm-hmm. Donald Trump Jr. likes to tell you that there's no such thing as collusion's not a crime.
Mm-hmm. In the same breath.
Right. But you know what the story is today? The story is, they were interested in that. That changes everything. It takes away the ability of the president and any member of the family or the administration from saying, well, we were, you know, the Trump administration would never be involved. The Trump campaign was never involved with the Russians on any level. They were courting the meeting. The one thing that we have learned here from the emails by Donald Trump Jr. himself was he wanted this meeting if he got opposition research from the Russian government about Hillary Clinton.
He said, I love it. Then that, you know, late summer would be the time when they could really use it. And let's, you know, that seemed to pique his interest in taking this meeting. And it was clear in the emails, which we weren't so sure about before, that she was described as part of getting this meeting as a Russian government lawyer.
He thought he was sitting down with a Russian government lawyer to get information about Hillary Clinton and potentially getting donations from Russians. It was going to be one of those things where it was like a false flag kind of deal, where it was like, you think we're the ones who are in bed with the Russians, look at them. It's the Clintons who are involved with the Russians, and they're getting all this money and blah, 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 and there was nothing to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they got all mad. But the point is that Donald Trump Jr. took this meeting, rescheduled this meeting, hoping that's what he was going to get. So they did want, and it was described also to Donald Trump Jr. that this was part by the Russian who set this meeting up, this Russian entertainer who they knew from the Miss Universe pageant. Mm-hmm. And can you believe I'm even saying these sentences together?
I know.
That the email from this you know, singer-songwriter in Russia, mm-hmm, was, this is all part of, you know, the Russian government's aid that they would like to give you, essentially, right?
So the pretense of the meeting alone is a problem, that you'd even take that. I mean, I think that the other side doesn't do itself any favors, though, when you see Tim Kaine going out there saying this is absolute treason, this is espionage.
Well, he said it was possibly treason. Don't say treason. It's not treason. It doesn't rise to the level of treason. It may not rise to the level of espionage. It doesn't, certainly at this point. We'll still have to see what other shoes drop, because the shoes keep dropping. And the New York Times was able to get these emails, and then as soon as Donald Trump Jr. realized that the New York Times had the emails, he released the emails by himself, mm-hmm, with his own framing statement, which was, I just want to be fully transparent here and let you know that
and
this
he says
woman
talk
claims
to the committee. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Then this woman claims she was, you know, now says she wasn't a government lawyer. Well, it doesn't matter when you met with her, you thought she was. So what it does, I mean, no matter how, whether this rises to, you know, high crimes and misdemeanors, mm-hmm, is irrelevant in some respects. Mm. What it changes is the narrative that the White House has to use by running away from, by trying to stop the momentum of the Russia investigation, whether it's the investigation being done by Robert Mueller or the House or the Senate. They no longer can argue that this whole thing is a witch hunt. It's all made up. It's trumped up. Pardon the expression. No relation. And that there's nothing here to see, because you do have an active cast of a fishing line into the waters of this by Donald Trump Jr.
Mm-hmm.
He went out hunting for this information, like he goes out with a dynamite stick trying to hunt a baby elephant. Ugh. It's the same sort of thing.
Yeah, those pictures surfaced again today. Hugh Grant was out there with the elephant hunting pictures, calling him a British bad word. So said, you are the definition of the W word from in England. I won't use it because I'm not sure if it's one of those words we're not supposed to use. But he did, you know, lash out at him. It just seems like kind of stupid, though, to even take the meeting. Isn't that like the first and foremost part of it all? Just why would these three senior people, Manafort himself and Jared Kushner, take this meeting given the way it was presented and the whole thing?
Right.
Just.
So it's six more weeks of winter, essentially, for them, mm-hmm, as they're trying to get everything else done. And the president said to be very frustrated by this. Well, it was his son who did it. And then it was his son who released the emails. And I get why he did it. He had
sure.
to. It was
going
to get the other way. Right.
He needed to do that at that point because he knew at that point the New York Times probably had them. And they did.
And supporters will say, well, you know, he doesn't know any better. You know, they're new at this. Well, if he were to do that, if he were to cooperate with the Russians, mm-hmm, on leaking a story of stolen information, that would be a crime. I don't think we have that here.
No.
But it would be a crime. And so it's lucky that it didn't work out. Now, let's just hope that they don't have any other, for the Trump's sake, that they don't have any other stories or any other meetings like that, or that that didn't actually happen. But you cannot, they can no longer say in a believable way, or at least with casting a shadow of doubt about their intentions here. They
right.
clearly now have proven that they were intending on cooperating with Russians on some sort of dirty tricks play against Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could argue that Hillary Clinton would, you know, they could say, well, Hillary Clinton, what about her? She was, you know, was she taking money from the Ukrainians and blah, 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 blah. Maybe.
And that could also be part of the Mueller investigation, which this right. afternoon came out that Bob Mueller, the special counsel on the Russian investigation, does plan to examine the meeting, what happened during that meeting, the emails, and everyone who was there to potentially talk with them
yes.
about what was disclosed.
But back to the Hillary Clinton point, if she was up to no good, fine. If they prove that, that's great. But she's not president of the United States. It's not a constitutional crisis if they prove that. If they do eventually lock her up, you might remember that. If that eventually does happen, that's okay. It doesn't crash the market. It doesn't create a generational wave of mistrust and utter destruction of the presidency. Like this potentially could. All right. It's your turn now, Judy Palak, with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spot.
When do you take your turn, Ro, for the Traffic Idol competition?
Coming up. The next traffic report, I'm going to do the traffic report at about 6:20, then again at 6:30. Yep.
Good luck.
Yep.
Because you'll need it.
This is exciting.
Stakes are high.
Judy, are you going to give us one more report in your...
In your sexy traffic voice?
Maybe I'll do the last one.
Plug out, folks.
Just to give the judges one more
look. I don't know if it's possible, but is there any way that we could do a recap at the end of everybody's, like, just a little snippet of everybody's traffic report?
To kind of help for the judges, maybe?
With the way we were playing underneath it.
Sentimental. Memories. I like that.
Yeah, and how about that?
Crown a winner. We've got to have some kind of build-up.
Yeah, they do that on Idol. They make them all perform together.
Yeah.
So, we need a mashup.
We need a
crash-up, but a mashup.
Yeah.
Should we do one as a group for the final report? Like, we each split up the highways?
That'll train wreck.
No, that'll go completely smooth, just like all of them today. It'll be completely fun. Just hand it off. Then somebody starts with the Edens and the Kennedy.
Yeah, I can see what's going on there.
Yeah.
Turns out, I mean, I think the thing that we learned here
is there was a lesson.
There was a if there's anything we've learned in this week, in the middle of July, in the year 2017,
in the dog days of summer,
is that the award-winning and highly anticipated and highly rated Rokanja with Anna DeVlantis every afternoon here on WGN has built it has a secret weapon that we had no idea existed. Which was Violetta, which we always thought was really, she was like our weak spot. And it turns out she really is.
We miss her.
She's the centerpiece. She's the cog. Even though she's interrupting and mispronouncing and doing all those things, she's like, she turns out that it's like, because we found that she's like irreplaceable.
Slot fest without her.
Yeah.
Yep. And what we're trying to say is nobody wants to do the traffic, so she needs to come back to do it.
kind of what we're saying there, yeah.
Yeah.
Because to be awarded the prize initially was the prize was you get to do it, and that wasn't a motivating force really for a lot of us.
I also don't think she's back Monday.
Oh,
so we may have a little more.
Oh no,
a little more runway.
So I'm almost positive.
Kemosabe.
I think it's next Tuesday or Wednesday.
No, she left on Wednesday. Didn't she leave last week? I wasn't here, so I wouldn't know.
I don't know.
Some point.
But
next
I'm sure
week
when I was
return.
Gone all last week, you were going on and on about.
So she's gonna be gone for 2 weeks. Well, then she shouldn't be coming
like
back.
A week
no one,
and a
no
half,
one takes 2 weeks.
No. Okay, maybe I'm mistaken.
No, I
maybe
think
I'm
she's
mistaken.
Except in the
just
holidays.
The week.
Yeah, and she's back on Monday. We're being
I'm told. Sorry. Did you say no one gets 2 weeks off? Because
no, and then not replaced, not in this business, and not on this show. Sorry, Judy.
Well, we'll see about that.
Judy can come back for like 1 hour, and then that counts. It like restarts the clock. She goes back for one newscast.
Known to do that,
right?
Yeah.
Sometimes you see people
day.
Do that. It was really funny on like CNN today. There was so much hysteria and craziness because of the down. Trump Jr. stuff that they had they had to bring in like Anderson Cooper, you know, had to come in a black T-shirt at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh,
why? Because no one else could handle
it's like an
it?
Emergency. You know, they had to have Wolf and
did they put that big screen up where they were like, now here's where the first email came.
Yeah, they did the
and
whole
then
thing.
It, yeah,
and you could tell that you know. That Anderson Cooper was just, you know, it's like, really? It looked like it just gotten up. All right, I'll come in. I'll do it.
He had a T-shirt on?
They bring the A-team in. Well, you always know, like, when there's an emergency, he wears a tight black T-shirt.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But he was wearing a suit. He was wearing an emergency gray suit. You could tell it was in his office. Gray suit with a black tie. He was ready to go.
Yeah. Well, I think the emails, as soon as the contents of them was released, you knew that this was going to be a bigger story.
All hands on deck.
Yesterday.
Yeah. And it was. It's a big story. Now there's great confusion. It's interesting. General Michael Hayden, who's been on the show a number of times, formerly the head of the NSA, formerly the head of the CIA, is basically saying what I said 30 minutes ago, which I think I would like to take credit for, even though the general
did
probably.
Did you call him during the break and tell him what to say?
I think he was probably listening to us on the app and then thought, I'm just going to say the exact same thing on CNN, which is the problem is that the issue here is it's probably not a criminal act what they did. It just proves that they had the intent of doing it. So it gives lie to this whole idea that we never wanted to do that. We never dealt with the Russians. We don't need to do it with the Russians. It's a big hoax, big lie. It's big, you know. And now the president can't say that anymore.
Yeah, it's like a bigger piece of the puzzle.
It's the centerpiece of the puzzle that they were, at least they had the intention to deal with Russians in terms of trying to get information that would hurt Hillary Clinton's chances of becoming president. Mm-hmm.
And then Donald Trump Jr. just told Sean Hannity, in retrospect, I probably would have done things a little differently.
Real? Oh, my God, a mistake made by a Trump?
You want to talk about a dramatic comment?
Because he gave it.
Maybe I wouldn't have, shouldn't have, couldn't have.
He gave an interview to Fox News, mm-hmm. and that's going to air tonight. Yeah. Reaction.
And with Hannity going, this was such a great idea on your part.
Yeah.
You're smoking out the Russian spies, weren't you?
Isn't that what you're doing?
Somehow it'll be on Hillary's. You know, they'll blame her.
He also told Fox News that he did not tell his father about the meeting with the Russian lawyer. Okay. Now, see, I'd be very careful about what you say here.
You shouldn't even be doing interviews. Doesn't he have a lawyer?
Yeah, he's got a lawyer, but they figure it's going to go on Hannity. How bad could that go for him?
Because you talk, you open your mouth. That's how bad it can be.
That's an excellent point. the issue there is that Hannity is going to give him a pretty free ride there, one would imagine. But if he starts locking himself into positions, his credibility is already gone. Because he misrepresented this over the weekend, and then he had to, today he comes clean by releasing the emails literally 7 minutes before the New York Times did.
I'm still surprised he did it.
It's a good move on his part.
Yeah, and the New York Times asked him for a comment, and he said, please hold off and give me some time. Then he released him, just so we're all clear on that. Trumped them.
Well, the New York Times knew that, because then the New York Times released a push notification saying we have these emails and didn't hit send on their story before Donald Trump Jr. released the emails. So they knew he was stalling for time. So they at least put the headline out without the story. And then he put out his emails, to show it. And then then immediately the Times released theirs. So it was a little bit of a battle to the top there of release. Pardon the expression. But it is there's the inside politics of that are very interesting, too.
It is. And the decision to do it. I mean, I don't know. If you knew that they were going to release them, do you really get out in front if you get them out minutes before?
Oh, always.
Oh, you got to. Yeah. No, that's a move. But that's an important move.
But as everyone else is connecting it to the reaction to the New York Times already having them, it just doesn't make it look transparent.
Some people won't go that deep. They'll just be like, well, he released the emails. He's got to be innocent.
Right. I think a lot of the people who, don't want to think that anything bad's going to happen here, or they're mad at the press for asking questions, or they're mad at the Democrats. Everybody's mad at Democrats here. Like the Democrats, Democrats are mad at Democrats. Because look at the Democrats. They're obstructionists. They're not anything. They're irrelevant.
I know,
I've
right?
never seen a more feckless group of human beings than congressional Democrats right now. They can't do anything.
Need to do anything. They're just sitting back.
Right. But they also don't have a plan. Have you noticed this? They don't have a plan for anything. And they just sit there like little children on the sides. Okay, what's in here? They're drinking their juice boxes while the adults are, fighting in front of them.
Well, they're watching the show. They're watching the movie play out. But yeah, you're right. They should be. They shouldn't be sitting
optimistic.
On there.
Oh, you're optimistic.
Well.
Or they should be coming out with their own plans.
Yeah,
about
they should have a
here's
plan.
Here's what we
exactly.
should do. And, because those are the things that people really would like to see getting done right now while neither side is talking to each other.
Yeah, but of course you can't blame them. They're all jumping on the biggest thing ever, which is this Russia investigation. I mean,
right.
That's
well,
all
they can do that.
They can do that simultaneously. Yeah. It's their job to actually advance the interests of the country too. Isn't that what you elect them for?
Yes.
Not just to sit by.
No, probably
the
party that's in control needs to be doing that. Like maybe.
Well,
passing
they're trying. It's not working very well for them.
Well,
so
and
if
I
were
it's,
the Democrats.
I'm also suspect that they're going to stay in town two more weeks to do health care. To me, that is a diversion tactic.
Let me say this: that if you go back in history, the good old days of
last year?
Like yeah. if you go back in history and you go back to like 2009, right, when the healthcare thing actually, you know, got passed in 2009 and 2010, and then Republicans knew exactly what they were going to do, and they mounted this campaign, and they were ready to go. And they had their own version of it, repeal, replace, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. I mean, they knew they weren't going to get it through because they had a president who was going to veto it. But the Tea Party movement and all those people that were, you know, dressing up as Revolutionary War reenactors with three-cornered hats, and you had, you know, Sarah Palin out there, you betcha, and all that. They had a plan. They had they did something, and they got waves of people elected. Democrats right now, they're sitting around going, I think this Trump guy, he might have done something bad. There's nothing. They don't have a plan. They need to learn something from what the Republicans did if they want to have a shot here at you know, people are like, well, 2018 is going to be a wave election and Democrats are going to roll away with it. They're not. And I want to tell you something else, too. It's the people who are supporting Donald Trump here. There's a lot of people out there who are like, oh, my God, I can't believe this guy's doing this. But they're thinking, how much worse would it have been if it were Hillary Clinton in office? And, you know, what, you know, all the other things that would have happened. This is the opportunity for Republicans to step up and show the nation they can lead. They're failing miserably at that, too. So Republicans are failing miserably. Democrats are failing miserably. The presidency is an embarrassment. I mean, it's crazy what's going on there. It is. It's not normal. It's not right. This is not helping the cause of the United States of America. And it's diminishing our reputation around the world. It is. There's just no two ways around it. But no one is. But someone has to step up here, whether it's going to be a Republican or a Democrat or whatever it is. And people. Talented people of goodwill on both sides are going to have to stand up and go, we have to right this ship because it's a mess. The only thing going right now is the economy is still stable. And there's going to be a natural, sine wave reaction anyway to this. It's going to, you know, it's 8 years of growth, and now you're having a super heat growth for a moment here. And then there's going to be, and, you know, when there is a recession, it's just inevitable that there will be one. They're going to have the politics of this are going to change dramatically. Yeah. But right now, the only thing that's keeping, you know, the great, you know, soft bed that people are lying in now is that the economy is okay. If the president didn't have that, he'd have a world of hurt right now.
Yep.
Can't finish a sentence either. Nothing makes sense.
It doesn't. And then the new news conferences are sort of troubling on top of it with so much news breaking today. And then they do the audio only and. Just an issued statement, very curt statement from the president, and
they're running
more.
They're running from behind on stuff, and the president has these half sentences that don't add up to anything. It's like a Ouija board. You don't know what he's saying. Is it yes? Is it no? I'd rather they should do a Ouija board press conference instead, where they ask the question and then the press all hold on to the little Ouija eye, and then they go around T H.
Kind of is how it is.
Who's writing this down?
Sean. Where's Sean?
Oh my God. This is not America at its strongest, finest, and most defined. And that's, you know.
That's troubling.
All right. You know, it's now time for me to do the WGN traffic trouble spots. Now, you know, it's traffic reporter idol, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody gets to do it in their own style. Yesterday I tried a few of these things and I thought, well, I'll do it. I wanted to do it in a helicopter because that's traditional.
Mm-hmm. You
right?
hear that?
Yeah.
Every once and again.
And that didn't work out well for me because we found a helicopter that took 30 minutes to actually warm up to be able to take off, and that created its own issue.
Super loud, too. Couldn't hear what you're talking about.
I then tried to do it from a biplane, and that was a little tough. Hard
also,
to hear over that engine, too, and there was wind.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to do something that's a little quieter, but also, you know, gives us the idea that of motion and movement and important things. So I've decided that I'm going to do this traffic report from the WGN traffic submarine.
Oh, gosh.
With the periscope up, right?
Oh, so you can see.
Yeah.
Sure.
Is this a German sub?
Russian.
I'm Rokan with the WGN traffic trouble spots. from the WGN traffic submarine. Accident on the Dan Ryan express lanes near 35th Street. 53 minutes on the inbound Kennedy from O'Hare to downtown. Humboldt Park Grand Avenue at Holman is closed until August for viaduct reconstruction. For traffic on the 7s, 8s, or any time on demand, get the Traffic's Chicago app approved by Team Hochberg. At Pearl Mortgage, just search TRAFFIX Chicago. That is all.
Are you a robot?
Your subterranean report. That's interesting. I've never heard that before.
It's one way of doing it.
Points for creativity. Mm-hmm.
It was very clear and concise. I'll say that.
Mm-hmm. Could hear it this time. Mm-hmm.
It was,
that was good.
It's absurdist.
And a little bit frightening, traffic, though, because that was kind of scary.
It was. And
listening to that sound.
Funny you say that, Judy, because there was some group of visitors here. Looked like they might have been from some European country, all gathered outside the window, and they looked in and were like, what is going on?
Do they duck and hold, put their hands
is
over their heads?
Is this American radio station? What is going on? What do they do here?
Why do they have traffic submarine? That does not make any sense.
Why?
It goes up and down the lake, you know. It's how we watch things.
Right, where the big periscope comes out and stares at the Dan Ryan.
Exactly.
That was That's sort of weird, that one.
That's how we do it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was absurdist. That's
a hell of a big,
okay.
It's
impressive. Actually, I'm glad you get it because I really didn't. All right, let's do this. We got Judy Pollack's news coming up in just a few minutes. Stay right here.
He's real. He's trusted. He's Larry Potash. Watch Larry and the rest of the WGN morning news team weekdays 4 to 10 on Chicago's very own WGN TV.
Did you see that Johnny Depp made the news?
Oh, dear. For what?
He took two steps forward and one step back today in his lawsuit with his money managers.
Classic.
Yeah.
I thought it was going well for him. I thought there was a good news for him yesterday.
It's a $25 million legal battle he's got going on there. While denying for now the Mandel Company's desire for a declaratory relief, whatever that means.
Mm-hmm. Whatever that means.
And saying that Johnny Depp caused his own financial waste. Mm-hmm. A Superior Court judge in Los Angeles ruled that business manager's claim of promissory fraud against Johnny Depp in its countersuit can stand as a financially lurid case moves forward. I don't even understand a word of what I just said.
But I don't understand that either, but yesterday they said decided that his spending habits have nothing to do with how we're going to rule, the judge said, on whether or not there was a problem with the relationship between you and your managers.
Right.
That however much you spend on weird stuff that all came out in the media doesn't matter. Your spending habits is not relevant material to this.
The judge stood by most of her tentative ruling on the matter and that the allegations of gross mismanagement and sometimes outright fraud can be tried.
He's not going to like that.
Well, that's good. That's good for him.
Oh, that's good.
That's good for him. That gross mismanagement by his managers.
Oh, by the managers.
Right.
This is exactly what I've been telling you this entire time. Completely wrong. Even though I'm not completely sure I'm sober.
Johnny.
They said that Johnny Depp is, you know, you always have to play the greatest hits here.
Mm-hmm.
He was spending millions of dollars on ridiculous things.
Yeah.
For example, $3 million to shoot Hunter S. Thompson's ashes out of a cannon.
Oh, gosh. Wow.
It's the way that Hunter would have wanted it.
That's what he said.
And I can get those ashes shot out of a cannon for like $3,000. I don't think you got to spend $3 million on that. I could find a guy with a cannon, we could pay him $3,000 and fire the stuff.
He said at one point he was spending $2 million a month. And they sort of added up what it was all on. And it was just, you know, lots of fun stuff he wanted, like fine wines and travel.
I do like my glass of wine after work. I like to relax, you know, with the little kiddies running around, and I've got my big Pinot Noir.
$18 million on a luxury yacht. $30,000 a month for wine. I mean, this is.
I sort of understand that. I think I'm right around like, him on the wine expenditure. I don't know where I am on the.
I've been out with you, and you've gotten bills for that much.
Yeah. I do.
We've all dodged bills that he's gotten better that much.
I got to run, guys. See you later.
Exactly. I just go to the bathroom. I never come back.
Yeah. I need Johnny Depp's managers to handle this show.
I know.
Good luck to you, my friend.
Bro, you're spending too much money. All right.
That's true.
They're not that.
Actually,
great.
I know. And it's funny. I did have a meeting with my bankers and accountant. Last week,
they didn't look at your restaurant receipts, did they?
That was very entertaining. And there was a moment uh-huh. where they said, "You know, all right, Johnny Depp, you are spending a little more money than you're taking in." And I was like,
"Except I really like to enjoy my life. I think I'm having a pretty good time, don't you?"
Looks like it from the bills.
Yeah,
I want to live that life.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's sort of what they were saying to me, and I'm like, okay. I am having a good time, though.
Well, and I understand the wine, too. He's going through the breakup thing, you know? The Amber Heard
right.
is no longer around.
Oh, why did you have to bring that shrew up again? I understand that that Elon Musk is going to be shooting her off into space on a rocket and sending her to Mars so that she can populate that entire planet with bitches like herself.
Gosh. No bitterness there. Johnny.
You need another bottle of wine, mm-hmm. dude.
She's going to go up there and run that slave colony that they've got up there that I heard about on the news mm-hmm. with all the children that they have been kidnapping on Earth.
I think that was fake news, but that's all right.
I don't care anymore. It's all fake news anyway. This Donald Trump chap seems like it's all kind of interesting, doesn't he?
All right. Thank you, Johnny.
Thanks, Johnny.
Goodbye.
Feeling for you.
And now here with the traffic is Row Rage.
Right. Now, again, my idea here was, remember, my art that I bring to this is that I want to be in a vehicle every time, a traffic vehicle, whether a helicopter or the traffic, you know,
submarine.
So I tried a submarine. That turns out not to be a good idea for a traffic vehicle. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to try now a CTA train. Let's try that and see how that goes. Inbound Edens, 42 minutes from Lake Cook Road to the junction, 22 minutes outbound. Candy, 47 minutes from where we're here to downtown, 13 minutes on the flip. The Ike is 56 minutes from the old post office to Thorndale, 36 minutes. Outbound. Hold on, train stopping. Hold on. Hold on, I gotta wait. Are we going again? Where are we going? Here we go.
Everybody get on.
Stevenson, 33 minutes from 355 to Lakeshore Drive, 41 minutes on the flip. 22 on the Ryan from Burn Circle to 95th, 20 minutes coming back downtown. In Villa Park, there's an accident in Wisconsin and St. Charles Road. In Humboldt Park, Grand Avenue home and closed until August. Why do we have to know about it now?
I don't know. That seems
strong. Hold on, we're coming up on a stop. All right, hold on. For traffic on the 7s or 8s or anytime on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app approved by Team Hochberg, Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago.
I like that one.
That was pretty good.
Which line were you on?
Red line.
Not the pink?
Red line.
The red line.
I like the subtle messaging there that like you should be on public transportation when
you sounded like you were selling apples maybe too.
Yes.
Yeah, like you're a vendor on this. L track.
The guys who come on, don't anybody worry. I'm not going to hold anybody up. Yeah. I love when people get on the train and do that.
Say that because then you're immediately like, wait a minute. What is going on here? What is this about?
Well, if you're not holding me up, what are you doing? I just want to sing a song.
Is it sing a song or sometimes it's get a few bucks?
Yeah. All right.
That happens.
All right. Well, nice job there.
Thank you very much. Rage. Thank you.
Judy sounds very confident, like she thinks she's still going to win.
And Judy, sidetrack. Go ahead.
Okay.
It's the Row Contra with Anna DeVlantis right here. Right, let's do some good. We've done so much evil and misunderstanding all day, and now we should do something that actually helps the people in some way, shape, or form. All right, now listen to this. There's going to be a baseball game in which a guarantee win for a Chicago team is going to occur.
Yes.
Which is, I really
which
like this.
Is awesome because we don't we haven't seen that as much as we'd like.
This is the 18th annual CPD versus CFD, the finest versus the bravest. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be next Wednesday at next Wednesday being tomorrow at
Guaranteed. That's next Wednesday.
At, yeah, that would mean tomorrow Wednesday. At Guaranteed Rate Field at the G Spot, as we call it. It's at 7:05 and there's free parking. It opens at 5 p.m. Tickets are $5 at cpdmemorial.org. That's the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation, which is I'm a fine member, board member thereof. And it's $10 on game day, post-game party immediately following the game at the White Sox Grill. That is going to be a lot of fun. And we've got a Chicago police officer. That's going to be the winning team, by the way. I don't think I'm going to have to really. No, I don't think there's a question about that.
Sure, there'll be some smack talking in advance of this.
Vincent Macias. At least we get a Chicago win no matter who does this. How long have you been playing on this team?
This will be my eighth year.
Eighth year.
Yeah.
All right. And what do you know what the record is here between these two?
It's a lot to a little. Us to them.
Really? CPD wins?
Yeah, we win a lot. But, you know, last year they beat us. So.
Oh, so oh, I see. All right.
Coming off that.
So let's see. That's what, and then, now, what's generally, what's like a score in this game?
It's usually close. It's usually close. I think last year was 4-3. And years past, it was like 11-3.
Yeah. Oh, big kind of things.
Yeah.
Anybody get dingers out there? Anybody get it over the wall?
I think two times. Two times somebody's done it in this game. So.
Wow.
Because it's at Sox Park. That's pretty incredible just to even play there and be part of the atmosphere and that kind of thing.
In the beginning, they used to use metal, so it was a lot easier. But now we
You went back to wood?
We moved up to the man's sport by using wood. So.
Right, because do you feel like little leaguers are like, ding, ding, when you hear that? It doesn't confer. That's why you look in you like College World Series and you hear them playing with aluminum bats and you're like,
I love that.
Still like they're kids when they're doing that. You want to hear the crack of the bat, not the ting of the bat.
So describe the atmosphere for us. Is there food? Do people hang out? Do they tailgate before this? What happens?
Concessions are open.
Oh, good.
Is there beer being sold?
I believe there is, yes.
Yes, that's a very important point.
Yes, it's very important. Yes.
Good to get that out.
Just like to make that point. That's
it's usually anywhere from 5,000 to 10,000 people just cheering on your favorite fire department or police department player. A lot of families, all supporting one great cause.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
That is.
Yeah. That is awesome.
And you want to get your tickets in advance because it's double the day of the game. Still reasonable, $10. I mean, big deal, but you can get your tickets in advance. $5 now.
Yes, if you got them today. But tomorrow it goes to 10 and it still goes to a great charity. So
yes, it does.
Either way, you're still donating.
Yes, that is what you are doing. And by
it's
the way,
right
people should know the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation. Now, this the fire department gets for theirs, too,
yes,
right?
The Gold Star Badge, yes.
The Gold Star Badge, which is also a great organization. And they have had, there has been some need for that of late for the fire department.
Correct.
So that's an important point. But the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation is a full not-for-profit 501c3 organization, and it started as an organization that built the memorial, with this beautiful memorial in Gold Star Memorial Park, which is just east of Soldier Field. It is a very, very special place.
It is.
Right there, and every year in September there is a there's an event out there.
Yeah, solemn ceremony to remember.
All the names are read by family members or other police officers or citizens who come up and read a name that is on that wall. It's absolutely a spectacular thing, and you should take people to go see that because it's a very, very special thing. But now the Mission Beyond the Memorial has turned to two very important things. One, which is money for the families of fallen officers or catastrophically injured officers in the line of duty. And then there's also the thing that I'm specifically involved with, the Get Behind the Vest initiative, where we go out and purchase vests for police officers. People don't realize that after you graduate from the academy, get on the job, you get your first vest presented to you.
Correct.
But that vest has a life expectancy of about 5 to 7 years before it loses its ability to stop a bullet. Hmm. It's just the natural attrition of the technology of that is just what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, after 5-7 years, those vests have got to get changed out.
Yeah,
and
there's also need one.
Yes. Yeah.
You think? Sort of need one.
I think especially now that police officers are actually being I don't want to bring people down, but they're actually being targeted out on the streets here. I mean, you've seen some amazing, and you've seen this year alone, five officers just within a few weeks of each other, saved by their vests.
Yeah. One of them's actually on our team.
Oh, my gosh.
Really?
Yes, yes. He worked in the 11th District. Great guy.
And was that a newer vest he was wearing at the time?
It was actually a newer vest that he was wearing, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Initiated by Get Behind the Vest.
So there you go.
Wow.
That's what that is all about. So that's where this money goes. And then you get to go see a fun baseball game. You see trash talking like you've never seen trash talking before. You've seen guys who really, you know, I know we all want to put on a brave face in this city. We are all Chicagoans. I mean, if anybody else wants to call our babies ugly, we get very mad about that. But you do. There is some spirited rivalry-ness between cops and firefighters in this town.
Would say just a
little.
Just a little.
Just a little touch. And there's and if you you sit around a bunch of coppers and they're talking and they'll cut up the firefighters, and then the firefighters, you know, they'll start, you sit with them and they have a few things to say about the coppers. It is what it is.
Very fun. Very fun.
Yes. But, you know, at the end of the day, they're out there to, you know, help people and save each other in situations, right?
Yeah, we all do the same job. I mean, you know, in retrospect, one is saving people, the other people are taking out fires. I mean, it's just
right, and saving people, right, and saving people on the street. I mean, you just imagine, you know, the one thing that is awful as the stuff is that is happening here in Chicago, and it is bad. Mm. It is very bad what's happening on the streets, and you guys know, you see it firsthand. The murder rate is, you know, it's less than it used to be. Well, that's because the firefighters are so good at what they do when they get to the scene. Yes, they save so many lives. That when you're talking about 2,000-3,000 people being shot a year in this city,
and
700 dying, you know, you're thinking about, or 3,500 last year, so whatever that number was. I mean, they have a great save rate, you know, and so it's. You know, I hate to, but that's what this is all about. So if we can go out and have a little fun while raising some money for both of these organizations, and remembering that we all have to work together to solve this problem on some level, at some way. But, you know, for this one moment, we put it all down and we just say, hey, this is what we're going to do. This is what people can go do, right?
And people can, if they can't make the game for some reason, you can still donate in advance, I would assume?
Yeah, you could donate to the ChicagoPoliceMemorial.org.
Just directly.
Directly to them. Anything helps.
CPDMemorial.org. And then $5 for right now if you do it, $10 if you walk up to the ticket office tomorrow at Guaranteed Rate Park. That's where the Sox play, in case you're not sure what I just talked about right there. Because they changed the name.
Clarify that.
Yeah, 35th Street.
Guaranteed Rate Field, which no one says yet.
Right.
And maybe never will.
I don't know.
We'll see.
G-spot. That's the G-spot. What we call it right here.
Sure. But you know where it is.
Yes, exactly. All right. Well, officer, thank you very much. Thank you for the service to the city of Chicago. Yeah, how many years have you been on?
It's been about 9 years now.
9 years.
Where are you? What district?
I'm in the intelligence unit.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Huh? Excellent.
Counter-surveillance, counter-terrorism stuff.
Mm. Excellent. Did you have military service before that?
No. College.
Wow.
College baseball.
Wow.
A interesting.
We just found the ringer. Well, you know what? This is very important because I want the cops to win this one. Unless, of course, you know, I'm in a car accident and I want the firefighters to win.
Then,
I don't know.
Then you wouldn't say that.
Which one I want to have win this. Where'd you play college ball?
I played at St. Xavier.
St. Xavier.
Yeah.
I see.
Are you Chicago native, or where are you from?
Chicago.
Yeah.
Born and raised, and then I moved out to Chicago Heights. Mm. Went to Marion Catholic.
Mm. Okay. Wow. Now back in the city, working as a Chicago police officer. Thank you very much for your service, sir.
Thanks a lot, guys.
And go to cpdmemorial.org if you want to buy the tickets, or show up tomorrow night at Sox Park. I'm sorry, I just got to say it because I got to do it. Sox Park, or the G-Spot. And the game starts at 7:05. It's just a ton of fun. It's a very worthwhile event.
Free parking, too. Look at that. My gosh.
Right. It's very easy. All right. Rob Martier standing by with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.
In Waukegan, Lewis Avenue.
If you're trying out for Traffic Idol, don't even try it. Just
don't
do the traffic.
Don't try to get in that competition. Yeah. You want nowhere near it.
All right.
All right, that does it for another day of insolence.
Yeah,
broadcast insolence here.
Justin Kaufman is here.
Yeah.
Do we get to announce the winner of the Traffic Idol competition at some point? I mean, what are we doing?
Well, what I'm thinking here is, first of all, I'd like to go back. Can I go back? And am I still in echo? I still hear myself. I'm using that echo effect so much. I hear myself when I'm speaking in echo.
Sort of echoing.
When you're at home sleeping,
it's always like this.
Oh.
What?
Oh.
All right. So we have what we've done is remember when we did Traffic Idol?
We
3
did.
Hours ago on this radio
yeah,
show.
I was like, remember?
Remember the good
is
old
this
days?
A repeat? No, we just did it.
When we did it. Yeah. Well, we put together WGN Chicago at 7 o'clock. We put together a little vignette for you to hear everybody's fine work.
Mm, nice.
And now, here's Anna DeVlantis.
Traffic also brought to you from the top of the Trump Tower, Chicago, today. Inbound Eden's 27 minutes from Lake Cook Road to the junction, only 16 minutes outbound. That's good.
Yes.
Great even. We're making the Edens great again. Inbound Kennedy, 61 minutes from here to downtown. Bad. Very bad.
We really do have to get going.
Yeah, let's get going. 33 minutes outbound. What's going on with these people? 33 minutes on the reverse trip on the Dan Ryan on the southbound tri-state. Two left lanes blocked at Balmoral due to an accident.
I don't give a damn.
Is Judy Pilak with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spot.
Time now for sexy traffic. And we've got quite the hot spot on the inbound Edens just past Dempster. There's an accident on the bare shoulder. Now the inbound Ike, well, it's a slow, sultry 52 minutes from Thorndale to downtown. Slow it down, boys. There's always paradise by the dashboard light. And now here he is, Kevin Pylon Powell, with the traffic.
I was going to go with Kevin Crash Powell, but maybe that one's a little bit better. All right, folks, we're here helping you get home safe and sound. No big deal. Whether you're driving to dinner or heading home from work or getting a ride home from your mom, that's what I like to do during rush hour.
I need a ride. I need good traffic. Could you ride it for me?
It's nice when your mom drives you during rush. You can text. You can have a snack in the back. Yeah. Anyways, here's what the roads are looking like for you. Inbound Edens, 20 minutes from Lake Cook Road to the junction. 18 minutes OB. I'm assuming that stands for outbound.
Ah, damn it. Ah, the hell.
In Northbrook on the Edens Spur, eastbound past Waukegan. The right lane's blocked due to an accident. Keep your eyes on the road, folks. We don't need any of that rubbernecking, looky-loose spectator slowing situation.
Ma! Keep your eyes on the road! Keep driving!
I'm texting back here, but you go ahead and drive.
None of that rubbernecking stuff.
That I'm going to do this traffic report from the WGN traffic submarine.
Oh, gosh.
With the periscope up, right?
Oh, so you can see.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm working with the WGN traffic trouble spots. From the WGN traffic submarine. Accident on the Dan Ryan express lanes near 35th Street. For traffic on the 7s, 8s, or anytime on demand, get the Traffic's Chicago app approved by Team Hochberg. At Pro Mortgage, just search TRAFFIX Chicago.
Okay.
Oh.
All right. That's
by good
way,
stuff.
We got to thank Kim Gordon for writing all the traffic reports for us.
Yeah.
It wasn't like we were writing them or anything.
We just read them.
Just did it. Yeah.
So thanks, Kim.
I think you got to give it to Pilak for the bare shoulder.
Woo, reference. Baby.
Yeah.
Really?
The bare shoulder was.
That's good. What the texter said, too. She went on the text line.
Mm-hmm. So you get to do it now until Violetta returns. Congratulations.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Is that it?
Judy?
This turned out just Cowell? The way I thought it would.
Yeah, that's exactly how she won. You won. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I always win. Sometimes, now, though, I don't win, really, if you know what I mean.
And because you're gloating, we're going to make you do all those traffic reports now for the next 3 days.
Good luck.
Yeah, what'd you win? more work.
I won more work. Woo! Thanks.
Well, you sounded good.
God.
Everybody sounded good.
Yeah.
Very creative.
Oh, thanks.
There we go. Yeah, that's what we do.
It was fun for a day.
What's
what can we do tomorrow? Let's do sports tomorrow.
Oh,
whoa,
gosh.
Whoa, whoa. This is my territory, okay? This is my territory.
Yeah, hey, I also do business. Maybe you guys want to try that.
Kev, tomorrow would be a great day to give other people the sports duties. There's no sports happening.
So 1 day a year where there's no, or one of like 2 days a year where there's no games from the four major sports.
Professional sport.
I could do sports on that day. That's perfect.
So there you go.
So 1 day I could probably do it.
Although, you know what will happen tomorrow is the Marlins, they'll announce who the winning bid is.
That's true.
The Marlins.
Yeah, right. Well, that'll be good for
It'll be Michael Jordan.
And Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
Or some athlete will do something stupid and they'll be breaking these or something.
You got to blow his hand
that
up.
That could happen.
You know?
I found some leftover firecrackers.
Aren't the Bears back in? Is it the mini camps over? No. They just go back to camp. When does camp start? Like in a week?
End of
two
end
weeks.
End of July, yeah. July 28, I think.
What?
When I think it's 2 weeks from today, 25th. It's, yeah, end of July.
So when?
Right around the corner.
So I guess they changed that in the NFLPA so they actually practice less, right?
They do, and I believe they haven't. They get like a whole month off. Like they did the mini camps, the volunteer or the mandatory mini camps were last, like at the beginning of, or even mid-June, I think. That was it. So they get a whole month off before they come to camp. So there's no Bears. All you get on the Bears news is who's the best, who could be the best.
Or some video that they put out. Oh, here's the human joystick. Take another look at a video.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't, oh, is there going to be a quarterback controversy?
Is Trubisky going to start?
The 27th, it all begins.
Yeah.
How, let's just be honest here. There's going to be a quarterback controversy no matter what happens. Yeah. In this town, if Brett Favre in his peak were here, there would be a quarterback controversy. Yeah.
First bat, poor pass from Mike Glennon. Everybody's going to be calling for Trubisky.
Oh, so true.
I'll be tuning
first
in.
Incomplete pass.
I will be tuning in for OB and Hamp and the whole bit when that happens. That's going to be great.
I know. Can you imagine?
What is he thinking?
The Bears are a better story right now. If the Bears aren't going to win the Super Bowl, them sucking is more fun.
Mm-hmm. They're predicted to suck.
No.
Yeah.
Where have you heard that?
I think it was CBS or something that had a pre-rank, and they had the Bears down at 30-31.
Oh, my gosh.
Like. And for the next 3 years, I think, right? Didn't somebody do like a three-year outlook?
I don't know. That's terrible.
But that's putting no hope on
the quarterback. But maybe, you know, I mean, all they really need to do is come out and be a team that's like, oh, they compete. They lose, but they compete. And then we'll be okay. But if they're one of these teams like the Trestman years where it's 42-0 at halftime.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Oh,
no.
Rough.
No.
They'll turn it around. Yeah. But that is a franchise that has a great tradition. That's why I keep telling
turning
myself.
Turning it around.
Yeah.
Of one Super Bowl.
Right. All right.
Okay. But they were in two.
That's true.
And they didn't
win
a world championship right before the Super Bowls were created.
Right. And they were 10-6 and didn't make the playoffs from Lovie Smith last year.
And then they fired Lovie Smith, and it's all been uphill since then.
Thank God they did that.
Right. All right, have a good night, you guys.
Thank you.